everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 178, the post-Comic-Con edition.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, sorry we weren't here last week, but
Are you really sorry?
Not really. I don't know how many miles away that is.
About 3,000.
Anthrocon? About 3,000. That's not very far
I was
away.
Not at Anthrocon. Nice
I
try.
I guess he was a furry.
He just wanted us all to thank you at the San Diego.
Don't know where to go from there.
You were saying... That's Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining him tonight are Josh,
Dave,
Pat,
Adam,
Rich.
Well, Rich only needs to be here one more time to get his bio up on the website. Yeah. So you can come too, just so you know, listeners.
We just had that extra chair.
Yes.
So we have plenty.
We have plenty of chairs. We can even get a bigger table.
We're going to need a bigger table.
Yeah, studio. Everybody, you just want to wear headphones. You just want to be like the 70s singers, you know, cup in your hand to your ear. I know what you want to do. We're not doing
that. We're really jamming here. Yeah.
You think you are. You're bopping to your own music half the time. So.
That's because I'm ignoring everything.
Okay.
It's because he has ADD.
Well, true. The Tourette's is the worst, but...
I managed to keep mine under control.
You do. You're a good boy, Pat.
It's only like 2 hours a week where I can.
Until we all turn this way, and then he's just gone all over the place.
Let all the ticks out.
It all lets it out. He's like...
Well, yeah, I do apologize for not having a podcast last week. Actually, during the time of the podcast, I was actually watching the Conan O'Brien show being filmed, so that was fun. Other than being in a really old theater in the second balcony in seats that were really, really close to one another, those seats were not made for me.
You were in an old theater up in a balcony.
Yeah. With a lot of other people. I saw myself
it
on
may
TV,
still be
though.
Too soon.
I saw myself on TV.
Boo!
You think he's a Muppet?
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah, I had to make sure. I didn't think you knew what
gotcha.
He was talking
no,
about.
No, I didn't know what he was talking about.
Going, you thought I was going with Abraham Lincoln?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
This is getting violent.
Man, I think I'm assassinating people. Jeez.
No, you'd be the Antoine Falcon.
Well, clearly I didn't you'd get assassinated.
Just because he has a beard doesn't make him Lincoln. Where's the hat?
He's close to Lincoln's age and John Wilkes Booth's age.
You mean now?
I don't think he's a vampire hunter.
Yeah, this podcast is going in a completely different direction since we've been doing it.
Remember when you were respected?
Well,
no.
That was never.
No, I don't remember that.
Okay.
One day.
Maybe.
Maggie respects
maybe
you.
She does. She does.
She
missed me, yeah.
Chewbacca toy.
Yeah.
The only line he waited in.
Of the two things I brought back, or of the three things I brought back, two were for her. Yeah. Well, no, four, technically, the sketch.
For her?
No, he said besides what he got.
Yes, the sketch was for her.
Yeah. Maggie really loves Man of Bats.
She is a big Man of Bats fan. Yes,
there's a sketch
exactly.
Of Colin.
Yeah, could you do a sketch of me?
Me with
do
Maggie?
A caricature?
Character of me and Maggie. You guys go to the like, festivals around here. Your family's like, where are you going with Maggie?
Draw Maggie's a superhero.
You know, places, pet smart. Then you come back with a character draw of you and Maggie.
Sharing an ice cream cone, a bowl of pasta.
It's the lady in the tray.
Great podcast.
Yeah. I came back for this.
I just visualized this thing. Why'd you put that there? Put it there.
Colin rolling a meatball across the table with his nose.
Maggie just going, no.
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 So nice to you guys.
So you're Colin. Oh, no. We're trying to restart it.
No, we're already past that part.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. No. Yeah, so I had a lot of fun in San Diego, but now I'm going to talk about it because you made me mad.
Aww.
So.
Aww.
Don't be a sore.
Okay, that's it.
No, it was neat. The only downside to it, it got off to a very bad start. When as soon as I checked into the hotel and got up to the room and punched in the Wi-Fi, you know, login stuff and refreshed the Eisner page to find out I wasn't a finalist. That was a little...
There wasn't crying,
but there was...
his face was the color of his shirt.
Yeah, there was a lot of deflation.
He kicked the bed a couple times.
You have to imagine at the end of Star Wars 3 when he was just like, you killed Padme. That was Colin at the time. No!
No one killed Padme. She lost the will to live.
Padme. Yeah, I was close, yes.
Did you lose the will to live?
No, but the excitement of being there... went away very, very quickly.
She lost the will to live. And there's a little bit of force choking involved, but that's what he's saying about losing the will to live.
Just give him a plastic bag to play with.
Their timing and letting people know that the day you arrive is kind of...
Yeah. I did like your suggestion of saying don't even announce the finalists until Friday at that point. Yeah. Like Friday morning. Because I was talking with another retailer who had one, and he agreed that the timing was really poor on that. Only in the sense, if you are a finalist, all you have is like 2 days to really tout, you know, to the public and to your customers and everything. Hey, I'm a finalist, because you know after it's awarded and you didn't win, nobody wants to be going, hey, but I was a finalist. You know,
But what you said having to do that at WonderCon makes the most sense, because then for people that are finalists, then they can decide if they're going to go.
But the problem then is just you got to get, you know, the guy who's in charge of it has been doing this for a very, very, very long time.
Well, he shouldn't be doing it poorly then.
Well, no, but it's like asking him to change his ways, I see, being fighting a kind of a losing battle. So I get that. Yeah, well, grumpy old man, and that's who he is, so...
That was the other guy that was in the balcony with Colin.
No. But
the other grumpy old man.
But it started off really neat. After Conan, I went down to preview night, which is 6 to 9 on Wednesday at the show. And basically I was able to say hi to all the people I wanted to say hi to, which was mostly like the publisher reps that I know from going to the Diamond and the Comics Pro meetings.
Your drinking buddies.
My drinking buddies. So I was able to say hi to them. And I got the two exclusive that I wanted for myself. It was funny, the number of emails and Facebook messages asking me to pick up the exclusives were ridiculous. Just the number. It was like, I think I posted that were I to get everything that everybody wanted, I would have had to have drive a U-Haul back. Because every action figure is huge. You should have seen the bags these people were carrying around. I'm talking like 3 foot by 2 foot by a foot.
Like, do people expect you to spend your Comic-Con just going in lines for every person?
It was a case of, oh, since you're there, can you go pick this up? It's not in like
it's
I had
like
to...
It's not going to Walgreens and just grabbing a...
That's what I had to explain to somebody. Reese's. It's not like I just walk up. I said, you get in line for 2 to 3 hours.
It's like Disney
and then you buy it. And I said, well, that's great then, but it's not going to fit in my luggage. So now I have to ship it. So now I have to go look for, you know, yes, there's a FedEx thing in the hall with a 2 hour line for that, because that's what everybody's doing.
Yeah.
So it's just a case of, I didn't come there to spend all my time getting you an action figure.
If you want something, go to eBay and buy it, or go to Comic-Con.
And and you can, you know, it's important to you, so you'll stand in that line. It's not important to me. So I just pretty much uniformly just said no.
Well, we appreciate you.
Trying to be mean, but now I did get something for a customer, not that he asked for. I did, but this one customer is a huge fan of this one artist and tends to buy every book where she has even just done a cover, let alone the book itself, and just a huge fan, always talking about her. And she was there. She had her own sketchbook, so I bought one for him. She did a sketch in it, and it was $20, and it took me 5 minutes. So that I'm willing to do. Buy you a $200 action figure that's going to cost me 5 hours of my time.
Who's the
artist? Tula Lote. She was actually meant the traveler, traveling man.
Yeah.
She was at their booth. She did Supreme Blue Rose with Warren Ellis, and she's doing a ton of covers. She's doing the covers to Rebels.
Oh, okay.
She's done all the covers to that. So, but really nice. And she just sat there and did a sketch, and he didn't know it was coming. So I posted a picture. I said the customer's going to be excited to get this. So, but that was just for him,
was
on me. He was. He was ecstatic.
Did he hug?
No, but he would have if he could have.
Why couldn't he?
Well, because I didn't walk around the counter to get a hug. But he was very excited.
That's probably for the best. That way you got that counter in between you.
Yeah, you know, there's no awkwardness, right?
Yeah,
right.
Office.
But so Wednesday, I did all that. And then, actually, I think I just kind of went back to the hotel and crashed that night. I was pretty beat. Because, you know, 7 hours in the plane and all that fun stuff. Thursday morning, went to the, I stood in line for half an hour to get Maggie a free toy at the PetSmart booth, or Petco booth. Petco, that would make sense, with Petco Park right there.
How many hours is something like that?
What?
How many hours was that line?
That was 30 minutes, but it was kind of funny because I got in the line because I just wanted to get into the booth to buy something because I had went late on Wednesday, but they had run out. And so I went late. I went first thing Thursday thinking they had gotten a shipment. So I'm kind of standing in line. I'm only like four back, and I'm like, okay, why is there a line? And then all of a sudden they wheel these big boxes in. It's like, oh, okay, they just didn't have the stuff. Great. So I'm still kind of waiting in line. And then somebody kind of mentioned something, and I realized that I'm actually in a line for a freebie. Not the line to buy something. Like, well, if you want, you know, you could just walk in to buy something. And I'm like, well, I've already been in the line. I might as well stay and get the freebie. Why not? Which was really cute. It was a little dog bone, but it was Chewbacca.
Oh,
it was brown fur with the bandolier.
Chewbacca,
C-H-E-W. Yeah. And I'm like, and it, on the back it was Stitch 2015. And I'm like, and this is going to kill people when I actually give it to her. You know, here's this collectible Star Wars thing that my dog will be chewing
on. I would have never guessed that Petco would have a booth at Comic-Con.
Yeah, well, it was part of, and it was in the Star Wars area, and it was all Star Wars related toys.
They've been doing a lot of both pet stores have been doing a lot of stuff like that. Like
they do the costumes.
They do even just clothes for dogs besides costumes, like the shirts
Petco
and stuff
Park
that are like Spider-Man and Captain America, the leash stuff, fish tanks, a whole bunch of things.
Yeah, because I have Iron Man backdrop on my fish tank, a Gene Colan Iron Man. But so, and then it turns out that the thing that I wanted to buy, it was just a sample, just showing what's coming out this fall. So I couldn't even get that for her. And then I had lunch with Diamond regarding Free Comic Book Day this year. They showed us like all the stats and everything from this year, and just talking about planning for next year and changes and things like that. So that was kind of that was cool.
You're like, how well my book's not coming in damage?
No. but it was cool because it was Diamond Senior Management, so that was really cool, you know, having some FaceTime. You know, now they'll know me at the summits and stuff. And that's what a lot of it is. Like, Thursday night, or Wednesday night, I said hi to all the publishing guys, but it was just nice, you know, all the people, they know who me by name, you know, and that's just kind of neat. That's a really neat feeling, being at something huge like this, and, you know, a lot of people know. Yeah, it's a little cheers moment.
you walk in,
Colin!
Yeah, kind of. You know, there was that.
Drink some beer, so this is probably the
game. Then Thursday night, I went out to dinner with some members of the Comics Pro Board, so that was cool. But it was funny, because dinner was from 7 to 10, but for me, that was from 10 to 1, you know, because my body clock, I'm definitely, next time I go, I'm going to have to figure out a way to adjust the body clock before heading out there, because that was a little brutal. And then after that was the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund party that I wanted to go to, because I wanted to hopefully to get a chance to talk to Snyder. I'd already talked to Lemire at the booth on Wednesday night, and I told him the little story I wanted to tell him about my mom growing up in Essex County and spending all my Christmases and summer vacations there. But Lemire was there. He was with Scotty Young, but I didn't bother them. But it was funny because I got there and I'm like, oh, I'm not going to know anybody. I know the head Comic Book Legal Defense Fund guy. But so go to this thing, and it's this huge outdoor, like on the roof. It was very cool. But so I'm just kind of casually walking around, and you're just seeing if I knew anybody. And all of a sudden, it's like I knew a ton of people, which was killing me. Like I ran into Jeff Boyson, who was the former senior vice president at DC for collected editions, who got the Green Arrow. You know, I take personal responsibility for the Green Arrow trades that we're getting now. And he recognized me. He didn't make the move to California, but he still came out for Comic-Con.
Oh, okay.
So he recognized me. We talked for a little bit. Keith Davidson, who's the writer of Reanimator, but is also the retailer guy at Dynamite. Talked to him. Talked to Brian Bucciolato, was there. Talked to him. It was funny. He mentioned that they had a great time at the signing here, and that the other ones did not go quite as well. And this was the highlight of their trip. So that made me feel really, really good. I'm like, good, you know, that he remembered me, but that it was a good memory.
That was the trip where the one store hired them for a signing, and then when they got there, they found out it was a little private party for him and his staff
Seriously?
Yeah, I told you guys that.
Oh, I didn't remember that. Okay. Was that in D.C.? He mentioned something about really bad in D.C.
The con they were going to was in West Virginia.
Right, yeah, there was that one.
Yeah, but they were going to, they were supposed to go to a signing, and they drove up in the middle of nowhere and found out it was like this guy's house, and it was just him and his friends, and they tricked him into coming there just like hanging out.
I remember hearing a Mark Wade story about something like that, but okay. Yeah. And then I went to the Boom Party, which was just in a hotel bar that was really crowded and really loud. And I basically just kind of said hi to the Boom guys and moseyed along. Because by that point it was, well, 12:30 there, but 3:30 my time. And
yeah.
I'm old and can't stay up that late. Like, I can stay up that late at home on the sofa watching TV, but it's a much more different walking around San Diego. So, went back. It was kind of funny. I ran in. There were three customers that I knew were going to be there, and I ran into all of them on the floor, which was just kind of neat because there's a lot of people there.
Yeah, how does that happen?
It just happened. Well, I ran into Matt Todd. I ran into at a panel. All of a sudden, I got up, and I heard my name. You know, Colin is a fairly unique name.
Yeah.
You know, it's when that's yelled. That you know, if it was Bill, you know, not every Bill isn't stopping to turn.
It took a year for it to be on Coke.
Yeah, so I turned, and I'm like, hey. So I went over and talked to him, and Tom Smithyman. Saw a couple times. And then Jeff McClellan, the guy who owns the Pac-Man machine. I ran into him a couple times as well.
I wish they would get more of that tech stuff out. Except for free comic books.
That was my one of the things I said to Diamond, was that there needs to be a book corresponding to the free comic. You know, there has to be some product. But Friday... Oh, Friday, that was all Comics Pro meeting and Diamond stuff through, like, 4 o'clock. So that day was, not, I don't want to say shot, but, like, the publishers gave their presentations. That's when we found out great news coming out of Marvel. I'm sure Pat will get to in Pat's news.
Oh, I doubt it.
Really? Well,
we'll see.
Okay, we'll see. If not, I'll supplement it.
Yeah.
So let's see, what else? So that was Friday, and then, just the rest of Friday, just kind of bopping around. I don't think I did anything special.
You didn't talk about your burner?
Yeah, I think I did do that Friday. I think I did. Or maybe that was Saturday. I don't remember. But I got a Chris Burnham sketch. Chris Burnham was the artist. He's the artist currently on Nameless, but he did Batman Incorporated. And one of my favorite characters was Man of Bats. That one, okay. that story arc I love just because I wasn't expecting
it was like
to enjoy
early
it.
Issue, like, it was an early issue just about Man of Bat.
Yeah, and it was about an Indian Batman. Mm-hmm. And I just found it, I don't want to say hilarious, but fascinating. I thought it was really neat, and I just really liked that character.
It was like his son, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something,
on a reservation.
He's a doctor.
And they had like a museum kind of thing.
Yeah, but it was very, he had a wooden nickel instead of the penny. Mm-hmm. When the action figure came out, I set one aside for myself because I'm like, I don't really collect action figures, but I'm like, that's kind of cool. So I saw him and he was doing, it was a 5-minute sketch for $40 and basically set his phone on 5 minutes and did the sketch. And it was funny because he had to keep turning around to get reference because he had issue one cover behind him. It was his big banner.
If he gets past 5 minutes, he's just, like, done, and there's, like, no face.
Well, kind of, but, I mean, he was monitoring, and, you know, when it got to a certain point, he started doing the finishing touches type thing. So that was
nice.
Really cool.
It's
yeah.
Really nice. I was surprised that was 5 minutes.
Yeah.
How big is it?
It's big. No, more than 8.5 by 11. It was from a sketch pad, so I don't know.
11 by 14.
Yeah, around there.
Around there, but yeah, I don't want to say it was that big. But yeah.
Like about the same size as your Daredevil that Buccioletto did?
Yeah, very similar to that. You know, bear to get home. And it got a little dinged up in my backpack carrying it around. Bigger than a comic, let's put it that way. I mean, all I had in there were comics to protect it, so the edges got a little...
With the frame
yeah. So let's see, I don't remember what else I did Friday...
It's all
blur. It is. Well, I think I hit... I think I kind of... I left like around 8, and I remember I hit Chipotle on the way home, and kind of I was in bed. I think I was in bed like at 10 o'clock, or at least in the room at 10 o'clock, and I'm like, what a loser, but it was 1 a.m. again.
Yeah.
My body time. And then... Saturday was... I did a lot of panels, because I'd kind of... At one point, I think it was Friday night, actually. Yeah. I found myself just walking the floor and doing circles. And, like, I had nothing I was looking for, but I kind of just kept walking. And I realized, like, the third time I passed the same booth, I'm like, what am I doing? You know, I'm not serving any purpose being here. I'm not looking for
there's
anything specific.
Yeah. Just like,
but I just want. I mean, not literally in circles, but like big
security
circles.
Security were all like, watch the guy that looks like a
not like going around the same garbage can, but like big circles. But it was
might have an Alzheimer's case.
But it just got to the point where it's like, just leave. You're not helping yourself,
sir. Just leave.
So I did, and then Friday I did some panels. There was a DC panel. I'll have to look up on my phone. I don't remember what it was, but I know Snyder was on it, and Heath Corson, who's doing Bizarro, was on it, and it was hosted by maybe it was the DCU panel, because it was hosted by the girl that does the video for DCU, but I like you're supposed to know who she was.
the All Access
girl. So maybe it was DC All Access.
Tiffany Smith.
Okay, she was there. And then I went to the Marvel Inhuman panel. I was trying to balance myself out.
Why?
I was trying to no. So I didn't want to just go to DC panels, but it was like the Inhuman and X-Men. So Charles Soule was there, Lemire was there. Humberto Ramos, Cullen Bunn, like everybody who's writing an X book or an Inhuman book was there talking about it. And like, apparently Jeff Mullemeyer loves magic, and that was the one he had to have on the team. And it sounds like almost they were drawing hats to see who could be on the team. And that's what the teams kind of look like, sadly, when you look at stuff.
They had an X-Men draft.
Almost. I mean, that's almost what it looks like.
Yeah.
But they were talking that stuff up.
Trade you Magneto, I'll give you Beast.
It's funny how they will add like X-Men to teams like that.
That's a terrible trade.
You'll look at it and be like, why did they have this person?
Yeah,
this
but it almost seems
it?
Like, why won
magic?
This?
Why did you like that? Well, you liked it. You know? But everybody always has that one X-Men that's so obscure that they're just like, I like that guy. You know?
What's yours? It's
weird like that. Huh? What's yours?
He likes Maggot.
Magneto.
You know, I don't really have an obscure X-Men. I like Nightcrawler. I don't.
He's a liar.
He's a liar.
I like Nightcrawler, but...
He's obscure.
Wolverine.
Wolverine, yeah, exactly. Thank you, Pat. Thank you, Pat. And some other panel. I went to the DC, I guess, humor panel. It was Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connor, and again, Heath Corson, who's doing Bizarro, and Dan Juergens, who's doing Batmite. Also, I think I had the artist from Batmite was there, some girl, but I missed her name. But that was fun. Just it made Heath Corson talking about. I guess he comes from the animated side, and this was doing this book. But he's just throwing these bizarre ideas, and they're like, okay, and he's like, really? You're going to let me do this? So it sounds like he's having a lot of fun.
Have you read the second issue of Bizarro?
No, I haven't. But, it made me more interested in those books. It made me want to read them because, you know.
Did you thank him for naming the Chupacabra?
I didn't. I didn't get close to him. Saw Stuart a bunch of times. Stuart, my DC guy, was in the DC booth a lot. Got a picture. Morrison was doing a signing, so I got a picture. I didn't talk to him, but I got a picture of him. A lot of the new action figures look good, but you can see better pictures than I could ever take online. What other panels did I do? Oh, and then Saturday, the only thing I had to do was at 2:30 was the DC panel. So I sat in on the Batman panel with Snyder and Capullo, and that was really good. Sadly, they were showing stuff and talking about 41, which had come out the day before that I didn't read.
Yeah.
So I was a little bit lost with what they were talking. But it was neat just talking. They talked a lot about their relationship and a lot of stuff I've heard before on podcasts and stuff, but just very funny talking about Snyder and Capullo and how they did not get along at first.
Yeah,
and it was hilarious with Snyder talking about, you know, he was emailing Capullo.
Oh, yeah.
And they're arguing, and it's like, dear Mr. And he's imitating himself, looking like he's typing, dear Mr. Capullo. Capullo, da 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 da. And then Capullo responding, going, uh-huh, yeah, whatever, kid. And then he at one point he said that he listed off all of his accolades that he had gotten, yeah. And Capullo responded, your mom must be really proud of you. and then Snyder responds back, as a matter of fact, she is, da-da-da. And Capullo's like, wait a minute, I just kicked this guy in the nuts, and he doesn't even know it. You know, it was very funny, but that now you can tell they get along really, really well. And it was neat listening to Capullo talk about the colorist, who's saying when he came on, he was very unsure of himself, and Capullo just kind of saying, you know, you don't want to stifle anybody's creativity, so he'd do something that maybe he didn't like, but he's like, yeah, that's good. What about something like this? Or that wasn't quite what I had in mind, but kind of really letting him go, and now the guy has totally found himself.
He's been a huge champion for that colorist.
Yes, yeah. FCO. Yes, yes, he has.
Huge, like, before DC put them on the cover. Yeah. He was one of the like most outspoken people for FCO.
They talked about Capullo and Snyder talked about before how when they first started working with each other, he'd write a script,
right? Mm-hmm. But Capullo had never worked with full script.
And then they kind of that's what they were like butting heads for a while because he was just like,
well, one of the funny things was Capullo said, you know, just give me the important words, just tell me the important words, and Snyder's like, all the words are important. And then afterwards he's shaking his head like, no, they're not, you know. But the relationship between those two is really neat to see. And Mike Martz, the editor, was there too. And they talked about how they convinced him to come. He wasn't going to go to DC. Mm-hmm. He wasn't going to move to California, mm-hmm. but they convinced him to go. And Capullo's like, well, yeah, basically I told him he's coming. So...
he got to a point where he was like, one of them was going to quit. They were really wanting to stop.
Yeah, Snyder said that he said he cannot work with Capullo,
and it just kind of
one of them had to go.
It worked after a while. They were able to.
Yeah. But and then after that, the horrible thing was right after that was the Morrison panel that I wish I had been able to stay because there was really big news that came out of that Morrison panel. But instead, I wanted to go to the room where Stan Lee was going to be because they don't clear the rooms. Yeah. So if you get in, you can get in early and stay, except for Hall H, the big one, they do clear. Mm. But this one, so if you get in, you can stay. So I'm like, okay, I'll get in there the one before and I'll get a seat so make sure, because that was the only panel I had to hit because it's Stan Lee. He's 92 years old.
Old enough, right?
Yeah. I knew you shouldn't have been going into that like that.
But
why'd you just say he's 92 years old? You opened yourself up for it.
No, but he only has so many more of these. He's not going to be doing these for the next 20 years, okay?
You don't know.
Actually, if he does, that's even more creepy.
I like this guy. You're just really going at him on this.
But so I wanted to
make... hit him before the podcast.
Yeah. I wanted to make sure I saw this one. So what is the panel right before Stan Lee? What is the one panel that I would absolutely not ever want to see besides some anime video screening? Marvel Digital. So I had to sit through the Marvel Digital panel. And I did tweet. I'm like, I bet these guys think that they have a great turnout and they're doing just awesome because they're playing to a packed house. Not real, you know, of course.
I'm sure they realize that Stan Lee is next.
That's after he was doing a Google search for video games, ?
Yeah. What are these things? Is there Marvel Pong? but then Stan... Now, it's funny. Stan was a little bit late, and Jimmy Palmiotti came out before, and I don't want to say warmed up the crowd, but kind of warmed up the crowd. That was kind of... He was great. He was fantastic. He was telling the story about when he first met Stan and everything, and it was really funny. But he also made a point of saying, now, so this is primarily going to be a Q&A, but he said, come up with some great questions. And, you know, you might want to know how he came up with the idea of Spider-Man, but it's been asked and answered so many times. And why the Hulk's green and things like that. So have a question. That's great. Well, have a question and it's great, but try to come up with something new, something different. And there were a couple that Stan's like, wow, I've never been asked that before. And it was just
Did some people still ask the lame questions?
There were some, not so. I don't want to say
were like, get out. They picked them up.
No, I don't want to say there were any lame questions. The questions I didn't like, and you could tell Stan didn't like, and Jimmy didn't like. Jimmy was basically there because Stan couldn't always hear the question.
Yeah.
So he was there to kind of summarize it for him. It was funny because all of a sudden Stan looked at him and was like, "Why are you whispering? The whole reason you're here is just so I can hear." But I guess Jimmy was whispering the question to him, but. There were some questions about specifics about why is Marvel doing it? Why doesn't Marvel have more female characters? You know, that kind of question.
He's not in charge
exactly,
of
Marvel. And that was kind of the answer. Well, I'm not there with the day-to-day running. I don't work for them.
He's what, Chairman Emeritus or something like that?
Yeah, but...
I was waiting for that on Facebook when they showed afterwards. I guess he got a picture taken with the X-Men cast. Of the new X-Men Apocalypse. And I was waiting for people to comment and be like, why are you posing with them? They're the enemy, you know? And I was just like, oh, my God.
Yeah, stop. But overall, it was great. But it was one of the... I had tears in my eyes just sitting there as he's talking, hearing his voice, you know, seeing him talking. And it was just awesome. You know, just being there. You know, Adam tweets, I was closer. I'm like, I don't care. I'm in the room. This is just... awesome. And it was worth...
That's not how I meant it.
It was worth going out there. Just to be in that panel. It was funny because Josh was asking me, what kind of news am I hearing and stuff like that. And I kind of responded back, you know, far before I do. Because unless you are actually in that room, I'm not checking Bleeding Cool.
Yeah, I think I was informing you of things.
Right, but I thought you had asked a question. I can go back and review. No. But the one panel I was in, and I was so happy because I tweeted the picture.
Objection.
Objection, fine.
Overruled.
Thank you, Pat. I was at the IDW panel when they announced ROM and Micronauts, and I was so excited. I know I took a picture of the screen, I tweeted it, I was...
Did you jump on really, the screen?
I did not, but I was very excited about it.
That's how
but it was funny, because Josh... Josh is sitting here going... He didn't understand, you know, why I was so excited about Micronauts and ROM. And I said, Micronauts were my Transformers.
And all of a sudden,
Josh was like, okay.
I thought you meant Micro Machines at first.
No, Micronauts. So I was just, I mean...
ROM. I don't remember
Micronauts.
The original comics were Michael Golden, just fantastic art. Yeah.
The guy with the mustache.
The guy talks real fast, whatever his name is.
But... So, and hopefully they're going to reprint the old stuff that's never been in print. The
Marvel
stuff.
Marvel stuff.
It is,
yet.
But they don't have the rights because Hasbro has the rights.
Yeah, oh, okay. Someone's going to Star Wars Marvel.
Right. Exactly. But it's funny because one of the books that I'm going to review called Onyx is written from IDW by Chris Ryle, who's their editor-in-chief, and it's basically a ROM book.
Okay.
So he was standing there. They had the guy from Hasbro come out. And give him the rights. You know, I'm sure it was all ceremonial. Obviously, they knew about it. They had a slide and everything. And then he gave the guy a big hug. Because Chris Ryle, for years, has been talking about ROM.
Wanting
to do a ROM book.
How long has it been since there has been a ROM book? I mean, it's been...
Mid-80s?
Yeah.
It's been in, like, a legal limbo, though, because of...
Well, maybe not. Maybe Hasbro just didn't want to do anything with it until now, so I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's true, because they've had all the other Hasbro rights for a while, Transformers and G.I. Joe.
But that was a neat one to actually be at. I went to a Valiant panel with all the writers. Very impressive, because you had James Asmus, Robert Venditti, Jeff Lemire, and...
Well, he was all over the place.
There's one other guy, but it was a big name. Who's the other guy?
Matt Kent.
Yeah, Matt Kent. So it was just neat seeing those guys on that panel.
Were you there, Josh?
No, but he knows the writers.
He's their biggest
writer. But, on Saturday, I had lunch. After the Stan Lee panel, I had lunch with the sales guy from Valiant. And then he's like, I got to get to this panel. I just got to make a... be seen, was basically. Yeah. He just had to be seen by the higher-ups there. So that's why I sat in that one.
Was that the panel where they gave the retailers their cell phone numbers?
No, that was at the Diamond Lunch. Where they put their actual cell phone. I don't need their cell phone number.
But he wrote them down anyway.
No, I didn't. I didn't.
Drunk text.
Yeah. No, but the fun thing was Adam Freeman, who's their head sales guy, as we're walking out of that, I mentioned one of my customers was there trying to get into the thing and didn't have a pass. And had texted me that he had just snuck in. and told me where he was, or was trying to get in. And so I had mentioned to Adam that I got to go down. I've got to try to help a guy get in. And he looked at me and goes, do you need a pass? I said, yeah. And he reaches into his bag and hands me
a retailer.
Valiant? Yeah, well, it was a Valiant four-day pass. Yes. Because probably just one of his guys had to leave early, handed him the pass. So it didn't matter to them. They weren't going to use it. So I go down, I give it to my customer, here's a pass. So, I'm sure he's listening, but just, you know, it's like, yeah.
What day was this?
That was Saturday.
Okay. If that was early in the...
No, it wasn't super early. It was late on Saturday.
It's like he may not have had a full four-day pass. That'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah, well, I don't know if he went back Sunday or not, but then it was fun taking him around. Like, he got a sketch of Chris Burnham, he got with Damien. And then, like, I walked him past. He got something with Mike. I'm like, oh, there's Mike Mignola. He's like, and it was just funny because he got totally tongue-tied. He couldn't talk to these guys. I'm just like, it's okay. They're just people. But he's like, it was very funny. Guys. I really enjoyed that. That was I enjoyed showing
the
him around.
Of others.
No, not the pain, but just watching. It's like, I've kind of gotten over that, but it was just kind of funny.
He's suave now, and he is.
I'm not suave.
Although, I bet if
They do fist bumps, you know.
Stanley would have mentioned his name.
That would have been me. No.
You guys.
I got it.
And then Saturday, D.C. took me out to dinner. So that was really good. Good Lord, that was good. The Brazilian barbecue. Oh, well, they just keep bringing meat.
Half of it's wrapped in bacon.
Yes. It was filet mignon wrapped in bacon.
No, I've been to a Brazilian restaurant, and that's what they do.
Yeah.
Although we had a duck heart course.
Oh, no.
Yeah, duck heart is not good, especially when they tell you what it is.
Yeah, no.
I thought you just went,
Yeah.
But it was funny. Duck heart made you go,
after that, I was kind of like, I don't think I'm going to be eating until Tuesday.
That was a, why would anybody eat that?
Sam loves duck heart. That's what they
think it's cooked, but it's really duck heart.
We better leave it on.
This winter, I'm going to tell Adele we have to leave a plate of duck hearts.
Okay, so I went back to the room after that just to lay down because I was in pain. And
all
then,
the crash, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Woke up at the middle of the night with meat.
But again, it was probably 1 a.m. You know, everybody's like, oh, you acclimate. Well, in 4 days, I did not acclimate.
Yeah, 3 days you don't acclimate.
And my biggest problem, it wasn't so much the night. I mean, you get tired. My problem was...
You get up at, like, 3 o'clock in the morning.
I was waking up at 5 o'clock every morning, which is 8 o'clock out here.
Yeah.
And then I'm looking at my watch. Well, great, doors open in 4 hours. What am I going to do? Especially my hotel room was not exactly luxurious, so...
I'm going to have French toast for 4 hours.
Yeah, so...
especially room service.
Yeah, Sunday I just kind of ran some last little things I wanted to do.
Here's an ego.
And came back, but it was really,
really...
toast,
you're still frozen.
It's frozen here.
No, but it was really, really... I'm glad I didn't come home Wednesday, even though I was very, very tempted to. It's just at home.
Not yours. I want to see.
Did your son want you to get
yours for him?
No. I didn't even bring him home anything. Not to be mean, but I don't know what they would have wanted, type of thing. You know. I guess you know what the problem is. The Nintendo booth was all the way at the other end, like past the retail stuff. You know, like how at a normal con you have the retailers set up and stuff. Mm-hmm. I didn't see any reason to go down there. Just I'm not shopping. You know, so. I didn't go down that way, and I guess the Nintendo, and they might have had something there, but, like, he doesn't like Legos or anything like that.
Were you able to take
someone
with you if you wanted to?
What do you mean?
Like, could you have taken someone with you?
I could. It would have cost me $200, but yeah.
See, I'm surprised you didn't take your son.
No, he wouldn't want it. He wouldn't.
Really? He wouldn't have fit in the overhead luggage.
No. No, he wouldn't have. Yeah, he wouldn't have really. I don't think he would have been that interested. He's not.
Adam.
And then they could have shared the room.
I don't like the
sharing hotel room,
especially the hotel rooms that Colin gets. I mean,
the hostel.
He would have been sharing a bed. Yeah, a single.
Can we get two Echoes? No.
Oh, man. One Echo they got to share, like a full
I just had a picture of you two like in a twin bed, head to feet.
Why are you picturing that?
Yeah, that's the bed I was picturing, actually.
It's called a cot.
Yeah.
It's not...
If you can go and...
Pretty much. There was no box spring. That
walls.
Was just on a platform.
This looks like a twin bed inside of a closet.
I don't think it was a twin bed, to be honest with you.
That's as small as
that.
That
doesn't look like it.
Okay, I don't know. They make a single.
Is that the width of it exactly?
Prison cell.
Pretty much, yeah. No, it's not. Yeah, I don't think it's a twin. It was fine. It's all I needed. It was funny. I was checking today. I paid $159 a night. Right now, it's $49. I'm like, okay, $49 makes a lot more sense. But, yeah, well, exactly. It was that or $400 a night. So.
You ever see the movie Big?
Mm-hmm.
It's like whenever he gets that room for a night.
Yep.
And the gunshots well,
yeah,
outside. That's,
that's yeah. That's,
yeah. But it was fine for dumping my stuff and sleeping. You know, it didn't need to be. I didn't
fancy.
Need.
One
yeah.
of those things that I don't know if I'd like going to. Like, I guess the experience, the first experience, but after that, I'd be like,
yeah.
You know, do I really want to walk around?
I don't think I would enjoy it. Like, I had friends went out also.
It seems more stressful.
So, like, they were texting me and whatnot as they were out there and asked me, like, they were anti-calling. They would text me and be like, "Hey, there's this person out here. You like? You want something?" If you're there and it's not going out of the way,
yeah.
And they're saying like, "Oh yeah, we should go to New York Comic Con in 2016." Like, it looks like you guys had a lot of fun, but it looks like a whole lot of people and a big cluster.
A lot of people.
Like, yeah. I don't know if I would enjoy
a lot of people.
Irritated at Steel City Con when I'm just walking behind somebody and they're just like yeah. stopped, or they like walk in front of you and I'm just like.
Like, yeah. for the moments that I would enjoy...
Like, this isn't any different.
I would be thinking, for every time I got aggravated, I'd be like, I can't believe how much money I paid to be aggravated
yeah.
by this. I'd rather go to, like, Heroes Con or something
That's
where you can see those... Yeah, we can see the same people, maybe not get, like, exclusive toys and whatnot, but
yeah.
see the same people get autographs
yeah,
and
not...
And then waiting in line for something
basically.
So expensive, and you're just like, why did I do this? Like, oh, you don't want the thing anymore.
I would be more excited, like, to meet creators that
yeah,
I like
think
a lot
that
and get, you know... autographs. So
Colin, get
like,
more people in here for signings.
I feel like you could do that, like, and like that's why I'm not that big on San Diego because first you don't get a lot of comics.
That's why I mentioned Heroes Comic.
And then New
that's...
York, you can get a lot of this too.
Yeah,
like
New York's
especially
crazy
creators.
Too.
I guess Baltimore has been really awesome. Decent lately. So that's yeah. what a lot of people say with creators. Who knows?
New
that's
chief
awesome.
Of Heavy Metal Magazine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a big announcement. I talked to the guy from Heavy Metal. I said, nice get. It's Sienkiewicz.
Oh, wow.
I talked to him. That was cool. He was really nice.
Wow.
Yeah. Ooh.
You met Ant-Man?
That was the Marvel. That was the whole entire Marvel
group. Ant-Man?
Was Ant-Man. Yeah, and my favorite cosplayer. I thought that was well done. It's black and white Harley Quinn. I thought that was very
You've
well
got
done.
Left eyes. I showing you. No,
I've seen them.
No.
Yeah, and then I saw Ben Templesmith buying the exact same print from, those were the two prints I got from Sienkiewicz.
Okay.
Nice. But he was buying one of those, and I'm like, and I tweeted that. I said, I just saw Templesmith, and he responded back to me, so that was cool.
He was like, leave me alone.
Why are you stalking me?
You and Templesmith are one and the same now.
Yeah, oh, there's Chris Burnham doing my sketch, and then that's my sketch.
That's a 5-minute sketch?
That's a 5-minute sketch.
That's pretty good, yeah.
Impressive.
Yeah.
He's younger than I thought.
He is young. Yeah. But it's funny that he had to keep looking on the back on the thing behind him. It was mostly, I think, the design of the chest
mm-hmm.
thing.
Didn't he have... He wasn't local, was he? Like, Burnham? Is he, like, local to this area? Or was
no,
it, like,
he went to school at Swickley stuff? Academy. You know those guys?
That's why he was there.
And he does not have good memories from it either.
Mm-mm.
It's Capullo and Snyder.
Oh.
Sadly, I wasn't. The phone does not take good pictures. But yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah,
I was pretty far away. But
yeah. You didn't make it to the Vertigo panel at all?
No, I didn't. Yeah. I didn't. I wanted to, but yeah, just time. Things don't time well.
Yeah, you can't be in two places.
Cullen Bunn, the guy who's writing everything in the world.
Or can?
And he's older than I thought he would be. For some reason, I thought Colin Bowen was, like, a younger guy.
Yeah, I did, too. Does she have clones?
The other pictures didn't take, and they were moving us along quickly.
Log.
Yeah, Donald Logue.
I'm looking like...
They had the whole... Yeah, they had the whole panel
there.
Some
guy sat down on a bench.
Yeah. So there's the outside of my hotel. It looks nice.
It does look
It was an old YMCA. Nice. That's why it is what it is.
Hmm. Colin stay at the YMCA.
Yeah.
Was it fun to stay?
I was real close for their panel. And then that was their big announcement, bring back the Mildstorm guys. Now, yeah. I meant to check. Who was the writer on Static Shock on New 52?
Oh,
I don't know.
It wasn't Reginald Hunt, because I remember there was a very acrimonious departure.
I don't remember.
Hickman.
Oh, okay.
He got all the Secret War knowledge.
Yeah, it's a selfie.
It's secret and
he's
war.
A customer.
It's a war.
I'm like, look who I found.
It's deep.
That's what I saw at the airport.
I saw that one.
Yeah.
Ah.
Podcasters don't know what you're talking about.
Told me to go.
They're like, this is bad radio right now.
Yeah. So that's my report. So, Pat, what kind of news do you got?
Nothing happened last week. What are you talking about? Well, we'll start with the comic stuff.
Are we interrupting?
No. What can I do for you?
We're looking for
the first thing I got is that there's going to be a Swamp Thing, a Metal Men, a Raven, a Firestorm, Katana, Poison Ivy, Metamorpho, Sugar and Spice, 6-issue miniseries.
Yeah, what's cool is a lot of those, they're bringing back, like, the legendary creators.
Yeah.
And they said they're intentionally pairing them up with some younger editors. That way, you know, they can learn from each other and help these editors kind of learn from these legendary creators. So, like, Len Wein is writing Swamp Thing and Metal Men. Jerry Conway is writing Firestorm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't really see who the creators were, but I saw it. And I know we've been talking about Metal Men because they were in Justice League. And it's like, man, why don't we get a Metal Men series?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there we go. Apparently, in October, we're going to get a Batman and Robin Eternal Weekly.
Yeah.
That's going to run, I think, like except
six
months.
Yeah.
So that'd be pretty cool.
Which was better than the other weekly that they mentioned.
There's two.
I only heard about the one weekly.
Justice League Gods.
I heard that was going to be one-shot issues.
Oh, is that how they're going to do that?
Yeah, that's going to be one-shots. Because
they had different characters attached to each of them.
Yeah.
And they're having this whole Robin War.
Yeah, and a Robin War crossover, which I thought was pretty...
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool. And they also said that's going to bring... not Stephanie Brown.
Liebert?
Yeah, it's going to bring her into...
I forget her name.
Yeah, I did too.
Cassandra Cain?
Harper Row.
Yeah. So we have the Gods and Men one shot. There's going to be a Flash and an Aquaman Earth One.
Which Aquaman's been written by Francis Manapul, who just left Detective to work on stuff, and he's writing and drawing this. So that could be the big project.
We have our answer.
Yeah, I did. Although, see, I thought that we were supposed to get a Wonder Woman Earth One.
We are.
That was also announced.
Yeah, Grant Morrison is writing it, and Yannick Paquette is drawing it. So
okay.
I think it's almost done.
I've heard
Well, that was announced. That was years ago. That was actually announced.
Yeah, and Adam
the
Hughes
art I've seen so far, ago. I don't love. Yeah. And I really like Yannick Paquette, but I don't like his Wonder Woman.
I mean, I've been happy with all the Earth One stuff, but...
Mm-hmm.
This is gonna. I'm not. I have no.
I'll read it. I'm all for it. But like, I don't know. Just the way Yannick Paquette draws Wonder Woman, I'm not a fan of. And even like the statue he did, I don't like it.
Is that the one with like the droopy eyes, kind of, or sleepy eyes?
It's the one that she's like really like elongated. It's in the middle of your three back there, I think.
Oh yeah.
I think she kind of has droopy eyes in that.
Okay. But everything else
drowsy
he's done,
eyes maybe.
Yeah. Everything else he's done, I've loved. Like I loved him on Swamp Thing with Snyder.
I liked him when he was on Batman Incorporated, and it was really good. And then all of a sudden, you got Catwoman, and it was like, wow.
Yeah, he's super talented. Just that one character, I don't know how I feel about it, how he portrays her. And then J. Michael Straczynski's doing the Flash one.
Yeah.
Which I'm not a huge fan of his.
He did the Superman.
Yeah, I haven't read those just because I don't like him that much normally.
Supermans were good.
Yeah.
The first two. I didn't read the third
Spider-Man. One was good.
I did a good Spider-Man.
I didn't read it yet.
There's going to be three miniseries that are spinning out of Convergence. One's going to be on Telos.
Are those minis or ongoing?
I don't know.
I heard there were minis.
Okay, I didn't... See, they announced either
it's probably going to be in next week's preview, so
yeah.
We won't have long to wait.
But the Telos, which that kind of makes sense. A Lois and Clark book.
I like that. That's neat because that's spinning out of that with the kid.
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting.
And then, it's like 9 years in the future or something.
That makes sense. Yeah. So it's not just a baby. Yeah.
And then Titans Hunt, which is, I guess, supposed to be about a missing Titan or...
But written by Mark Wolfman. That's the key there.
It's someone in the current, like, DC Universe continuity who's having visions of this Titans team that never existed.
Right.
And I think it's one of the Titans teams from the Convergence books.
Okay.
So then she's trying to, like, pull all of these different people together from that universe that she's seeing in this vision as being part of this Titans team. I like that they're trying, like, they're not just making this its own, you know, thing that just happened and forget about forever. They're trying to tie in.
I didn't think they were going to do that because they've kind of made their universe now, current universe, off of that.
And they're taking advantage of, you know, what you said the whole time. This is now they can play on those stories. They've brought that back into the fold while still maintaining the New 52 continuity as well.
Yeah.
Some Marvel stuff. They announced a Chewbacca series.
Yeah, that was just like today, wasn't it?
No, it was during Comic Con.
Oh, was it? Okay, I didn't.
Which, and
they didn't tell us.
While thinking about it, I'm like, this is along the same lines as a Groot book.
That's what I said.
This is someone saying, like, have a Groot book. Well, Groot worked. Do you think we can find someone that even says less that we can do a comic book about? And then if that works, it's going to be.
Who doesn't say words?
What about R2-D2?
Yeah.
R2-D2 gets a book.
But it's weird that
you're done with. You're going to have your own book, Dave.
Well, I find it odd that there's a Chewbacca book before a Han Solo book.
A who book?
Did you
Chewbacca.
Just say Chewbacca?
Oh, Chewbacca? Chewbacca book.
He totally said Chewbacca.
He did. I didn't recognize that, so.
He's a Star Trek guy, don't worry.
I think that's just a miniseries, though, isn't it, the Chewbacca?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's probably be like the Leia book. I mean, I can't imagine that being an ongoing. He doesn't say very much.
I can't see it being that.
I wonder if they'll translate it. Like, they'll show
in the parentheses.
What's his language? Kashyyykian?
Yeah, yeah, something like that.
It's Wookie.
Wookiee. He speaks Wookiee.
Wookiees.
And some other Marvel books. There's going to be a new Blade title.
Yes, this was the big announcement for us.
It's like his daughter, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's there's a new Blade, and she's coming. I'm like, wow, another character that is now female.
Female.
Wow, what an original idea.
Yeah, the other thing that I found strange about that was there was some news that Wesley Snipes has been talking to Marvel. Yeah.
He said it flat out. I saw an interview with IGN where he was talking about his new show, The Player, and he was talking about, like, yeah, there's been, you know, some conversations so far. Like, not a whole lot, but just some conversations.
He's I didn't even know he got out of jail, because he was in jail for, like...
Yeah, tax evasion
or something
like
that. Yeah, bring it up. He likes talking about that.
I'm sure he does.
Too soon, Adam.
Yeah.
Too soon. Way too Come soon. On. Well, he's old enough, so yeah.
He should probably just die then.
So there's going to be that. There's going to be a Spider-Man Deadpool book, which, okay. And then...
I think everyone has a / Deadpool book now.
Yeah, pretty much.
Why not?
And then,
Squirrel Girl Deadpool.
Yeah, I think that's the one that we're missing, but there's a Squirrel Girl book continuing. So we'll see what happens.
It's not continuing. It's stopping and then starting up again.
Yeah, stopping and restarting. So that's what I got for the comics news.
Vertigo announced 12 new books that are going to come out, new one each week, starting in, like, October.
Oh, you know what? I didn't see any titles on that.
Oh, yeah.
Did they announce
They went over the titles with us, but
yeah, they had all the titles and creative teams. I don't have... Yeah. Have it with me, but they announced all the titles of creative teams, some decent creative teams on the books. Each book, you know, they give, like, a little snippet of the premise. Seems like they're all across the board. But
yeah, and there's some that they're really high on. But it's just nice because I remember just seeing something recently about, you know, what happened to Vertigo. You know, where did Vertigo go? And it's nice seeing, hey,
Darwin Cook's on one.
Darwin Cook's doing the art, and I forget with a good art writer.
Yeah.
So that one was, I don't want to say a surprise, but that was a Twilight something.
Yeah. Gail Simone's on one.
Yeah. So that's
good
nice.
To see, because Vertigo's starting to get pretty low on their monthly
books. Because you figure the people are taking their ideas to Image.
Well, yeah.
You know, Image is kind of the new Vertigo when you think of Vertigo back at Sandman.
Image or Vertigo,
Hellblazer.
Why would you go with Vertigo over Image?
Right. So they must have done something internal to make
Somebody
it attractive.
Somebody was asking Capullo about that, like the difference between going through that instead of Vertigo. And he was just like, Image pays better.
They pay better, and you truly own... Yeah.
Well, it's not so much they pay better, you get the profits.
Yeah, you truly own the character in the books.
Right, but also Vertigo, if it doesn't make any money, you don't get paid.
Yeah. Or Vertigo...
Like Image
Vertigo
takes, Image takes their costs off the top, and then you start
whatever
getting
you
paid.
Get.
But yeah, there was a big thing where Snyder gets more on witches than he does on Batman. But it's like,
okay, yeah, but he owns witches,
right.
He doesn't own Batman,
right?
Yeah, another book I'm so excited about is Back to the Future.
Yes.
Yep.
I did not see that.
Yeah, IDW is coming out back to the future.
I can't see everything.
That's where I laughed at. I mentioned to Dirk Wood on Friday morning at the breakfast. I said, you're just tailoring all your entire line to people our age,
children of the 80s.
And he's like, because
what's good about it is the showrunner.
This was before I knew about Rom and Microsoft.
Sure,
have a good one.
Gale, who wrote the movies and created, and it's going to be like a showrunner.
No, I don't think I do. Okay. Yeah, thanks. Sure.
So that should be awesome.
Yeah.
I can't see everything.
The crossover event that I heard Adam is beside himself over.
Yes.
Batman/TMNT.
Oh, you know what? I even wrote that down.
What is happening with Pat Snyder?
Man, he had that 1 week where we were praising him. He was so on the ball. And ever since then,
you're just like, we have this?
Well, no, look, there's a lot this week. So
now it's Pat's cable news.
That's harsh.
Yeah, but that has to sell well.
You know, Josh wasn't at all interested, and I'm like, Adam's ecstatic about that one.
Who wants this book?
Adam. I said, Adam.
And that's when he's like, Adam's beside himself. He's so excited.
Beside myself. But I think
beside yourself.
Well. Okay.
He's the fifth Ninja Turtle.
But I...
As if.
I like how they're doing these crowd... They're at least working well with each other, where Marvel cannot, work well with DC, vice versa, I guess. Maybe vice versa. But, there's, like, the title that I'm sure Dave has on his list as well as I do is the Star Trek
Green Lantern
series.
That book was
so good. So I'm sure we'll talk about it
a little bit. I love that book.
But it's cool that they're doing that, that they're having these little crossovers. Mm-hmm. So IDW just had a lot that they were talking about. Like, I think.
If we get Star Trek and Turtles, that might be a step too far, but we'll see.
DC's done this a few times now with IDW. Yeah. They had... year or so ago, the Spirit Rocketeer.
Yep. And then they had, not that long ago, they did the Star Trek, it was Planet of the Apes. That was their thing. They had something else, though, and I can't remember
they
what
did
it
Star
was.
Trek Doctor
They've had Scooby-Doo stuff.
That's possible.
Because they own DC on Scooby-Doo with Warner.
Yeah, with Warner. Yeah.
So they've had quite a few little crossover things. They're neat. They're fun stories. But...
What a quirky idea that Warner's, who has these properties, would have their comic book company that they own make comics about those properties.
That's a strange concept.
Such a novel idea.
That's crazy.
But, no. I'll probably get it.
Oh, probably?
He'll probably get nice copies.
You're embarrassed now because we said you're beside yourself. Mm-hmm. You're admitting it.
He's going to get 5 copies of everything.
Nah, that's too much.
4.
4 is
less. Oh, okay.
Yeah, come on, Pat.
So he'll skip out on the Raphael cover, but he'll get the Leo, the Mikey, and the Donnie, the Batman cover.
Oh, the Batman, yeah.
We'll see.
The Batman cover, I totally get that.
Anyway, moving on, there was some movie news that came out. Marissa Tomei was announced to be Aunt May.
I guess.
At first I was like, okay, that's just wrong because she's still cute and not old, but... They're making...
She hasn't died yet.
Well, no, but they're making Spider-Man so young, it kind of makes more sense.
I think we will always find her attractive, regardless of her age, because the gap between our age and her age is never going to change.
That could be true, too. Yeah. All right.
Like, he still finds Betty White to be smoking.
You only want to know what he does to reruns of the Golden Girls.
Is it Blanche? Sophia.
He's a B. Arthur kind of guy.
Yeah, I think I brought up Sophia. I saw it, I read it.
Moving forward.
Here's some new news.
Breaking news.
The Notorious A.N.T.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
What is that about?
Marvel is releasing hip-hop variant covers in October.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And it's Ant-Man, but it's the Ready to Die cover from...
Yeah, I saw that. They had a Doctor Strange one I saw. I forget what it was.
Okay. There's going to be a Han Solo standalone film.
Mm-hmm. Young.
Yeah, young Han Solo.
Played by Chris Pratt.
Shut up, Adam.
Oh, man, I can see them doing that now.
I know, so can I.
Yeah.
Directed
by the Lego guys. The Lego movie guys.
Oh, is that who's doing it?
Yeah.
Okay.
A bunch of Lego minifigures. Right.
Well, but he was Emmett in the Lego movie.
Yeah.
He has been Lego.
So the chances
three times
of this
now.
Actually happen are getting better and better.
Emmett, Jurassic World,
and Star-Lord,
yeah. He's the first to be a three Lego people.
Stop, Dave.
Stop it.
All right, moving on.
Not that I want that.
I like how Dave cleared that up.
Yeah.
No, not
that. Backtrack from that.
Ben Affleck is apparently going to co-write with Geoff Johns the Batman movie.
Did they officially? It was rumors.
Yeah. No, I heard it's official, and he's also going to direct as well as star in it. I don't think they've announced when it's going to come out yet, but I guess they're targeting like
anyone that was nervous about Ben Affleck being Batman. Watch that trailer
because, yeah.
I mean, it was only 3.5 minutes, but it looked like it's going to be freaking awesome. And he looked like a great Bruce Wayne Batman.
Well, that's where I was going next.
I like how they aged him a little bit, too.
Mm-hmm. The Batman versus Superman trailer. So
awesome.
That was really good.
I was kidding. We watched them all.
Here. Get out, Colin.
Well, I completely geeked out. The first five times I watched it. And at that point, I handed the iPad over to my wife, and she watched. She's like, I don't get why Batman's fighting Superman. I said, Do you remember the very first scene? It happens all the time. Yeah, I'm like, the first scene. He knocked down Wayne Tower.
The scream. He was holding the girl because her parents probably just got killed.
Yeah.
But, or he was just like, hey, what up?
I'm Batman.
No, not like that, Josh. That out of your head.
Well, you
don't
know,
try to portray Bruce Wayne that way.
Well, but you know, in Adam's
Wait,
defense,
are you gonna try to fix?
Hold on, not, yeah, I'm gonna fix this.
Why are they trying to turn Bruce Wayne into a pedophile?
I'm not turning him into a pedophile. But in Bruce Wayne's defense, when he finds orphans, he has new Robins.
You think she's Robin?
No,
she's Carrie Kelly.
You think
they talked about Carrie Kelly? That's the rumor.
Who is?
Jenna Malone.
Oh.
Why? I don't think they would do Carrie Kelly. I could see them doing Stephanie Brown.
Well, but if it's inspired by The Dark Knight Rises, then Carrie Kelly makes more
sense. But in the movie, he's not old enough yet to have a Carrie Kelly. And
I don't think it's
going to
matter.
They're going to care about that.
I think they'll go in such a different direction just to...
Well, and Zack Snyder's come out and said that aesthetically, he's pulled a lot from Dark Knight Returns,
mm-hmm.
but the story is not...
I can tell the story.
Yeah, no, it's not a direct...
Not at all.
No,
we said, like, not at all. Like, yeah, they're fighting each other, but nothing is really...
No, I don't see that at all, even in the trailer. But I think they'll try to do something different if they have to put a Robin. But then again, we haven't had a Robin in a movie, except for... Yeah, but let's not talk about that one.
I kind of didn't mind Chris O'Donnell as Robin.
Moving on.
The one thing I did, the surprising thing that I liked about it was the Lex Luthor. It's not a Gene Hackman.
They made him into more of like a mad scientist, like eccentric.
Yeah, but his still like,
which works with
the way he talks, still harkens back to Gene Hackman a little bit and Kevin Spacey.
Bit, yeah.
You know,
but Kevin Spacey was playing Gene Hackman.
Well, he had to.
Right, no, I get that. But that was, I mean, you know, it's the same as Brandon Routh was playing Christopher Reeves. So
I actually, Adele was home sick on Tuesday, and that movie was actually on.
I watched that a couple weeks ago,
Yeah, we were watching
and
it.
I was like,
and we were both like, I enjoy that movie, Superman Returns, and she was really into it as well.
I don't mind
so.
It. Yeah, I Kevin Spacey did just a really good
they
job.
They all did. I mean,
yeah. And Brandon, it's almost like a love letter to the
past.
Well, that's exactly what it was.
Yeah, yeah. And it, I think they accomplished.
It's just the only problem was new fans. Couldn't appreciate that. They wanted to
which they weren't going to. And I think that's what my biggest complaint about that movie. Why did you do it? Because you knew, like, who would have known that that was going to happen?
Yeah.
That's not what people are wanting. They're not wanting the 70s Superman. I mean, you can do that all you want. They're during this time of Spider-Man movies coming out and X-Men movies, they want their own version because it changed that
or much. Just a lot of action. This movie didn't have a lot of action.
And it didn't have a lot of action now. And there was too much for a new generation.
Adam's just mad at wiped out Nuclear Man.
there's too many people from watching that from this new generation that are watching and they're just like, what is happening? Because where was he? Did he go somewhere? Like,
but I even looked, like, Rotten Tomatoes has that movie like 76%.
Rotten Tomatoes is weird on what they choose sometimes.
That's a good rating though for a movie.
Yeah, I know that, but I don't accept them as anybody.
He just said he liked the movie. I see.
Has nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that.
Okay. Suicide Squad trailer was also released. First, just on cell phone, and then Warner's got pissed and released it. Which, by the way, and I get the fact you're not supposed to bring a camera in and record these. Come on.
Everybody has a camera in their pocket.
Yeah,
nowadays.
Everybody is doing it, and let's not pretend
that
it
doesn't. How long have people been doing that?
My son wanted to see this
they
movie.
Did it last year as well.
For years.
So what's even the point
seven.
Of...
I'm like...
They want it, though. They want them to do that.
Oh, yeah.
What did you expect?
Yeah, it's
though?
Creating buzz.
They say they don't, but then they do. And then in the end,
they
what happens after?
They release
it. They release
the first one.
Yeah.
So they had it ready. It's not like it wasn't ready to be released.
If sequels are generally worse. Because
they have
so
to release
it like a 20.
They have to compress
it.
They have to do work before they do that. And that's what they did in this case. So
yeah.
I don't see get that.
We've read it on demand.
But, yeah, so we got our first glimpse of the Joker. We got our first glimpse
which
of...
I was nervous about the pictures of him as Joker with the tattoos. I still don't like tattoos, but, man, when you saw him on screen, he felt like the Joker.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, he
big
definitely...
Time.
He claimed the scene, and I get
big
that it's one
like
scene,
yeah.
But...
You know, one thing I didn't notice, a lot of people were complaining about the hair color through the pictures because it looked more lime green or, like,
mm-hmm.
a weird
like
a
neon,
yeah. Was it like that in the movie?
Yeah.
But
you didn't see a whole lot of
things. I figured they might be able to...
The top of the frame, like, cut
just,
it off a little bit so you didn't see it
so
a ton.
See how,
yeah, but, it, I mean...
But
even
his mannerisms, is like, the way he talked, it felt Joker.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not...
Joker.
Well, I love that Joker is a character. We have so many different like portrayals in film and cartoons, and they're all
a lot of
different
Batman characters.
They're all different, but they all like have the same core feeling to them. Like I've been playing through Arkham Knight, and having the Joker and Mark Hamill's Joker and. Had Heath Ledger's Joker.
That is him doing it, right?
Yeah,
the Arkham Knight, because he said he wasn't coming back to do it, and then he finally did. Because in between, they had some other guy doing it, which actually did good. Like
they
almost
was
did.
It Troy Baker? Did it, I think?
I believe, I think that's what it was.
If it's not him, then Troy Baker does a spot-on Mark Hamill Joker voice.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's him.
I think my least favorite has been the guy who did the voice of Bender in Futurama. He did it for that Red Hood movie.
Oh, he also did Marcus Fenix in... Gears of War.
I just wasn't a fan of that Joker. Like, it was a little too gravelly of a voice and just didn't work.
I think John DiMaggio.
John DiMaggio. Yeah.
Harley's voice was the one thing that I was a little disappointed.
Well,
and
you didn't
and
hear
just
a whole lot of
it. No, but it
and
wasn't
I told
the,
my wife,
the high
was like,
pitch.
You need to hear more of this.
Like, I didn't see the mannerisms from her. Like, total, like, Harley Quinn feel to her.
She was the one who I thought going into it would be.
Some of it I did.
Pretty spot on and.
We're not saying that that's going to be the case for the movie. It's just this trailer didn't.
This 30-second teaser told us everything.
Well,
three
minutes.
Yeah.
No, but, the look of the characters are good. The one character that I was thinking it's not going to look right on film was Killer Croc because of what happened with the lizard.
It
looks pretty good.
Yeah. Will Smith is Deadshot.
He's playing Will Smith.
And he's playing too much like... A good guy, it sounds like, from just what he said.
It's almost like they're trying
to save the world.
Yeah. Like they're trying to do... Yeah, they shouldn't do that. He should be more villainous. But.
Welcome to Earth.
Do your bugs me alone.
The Sure Shine Squad. That's how the guy says it.
Okay.
This is that episode where the end of him.
And then the other trailer that I saw and it was the Deadpool trailer, which hasn't been officially released yet.
It was fuzzy, and I could barely make out what was on screen, but it sounded...
It was
terrific.
Yeah, it's exactly like I expected a Deadpool
movie.
They
were not kidding when they said they were going for a hard R.
Yeah, they definitely did that. Some of it was a remake of the test footage that they shot, except for they changed the song from Holla Back Girl to Shoop, which, okay.
There was one part, I really was, but I actually laughed out loud watching it in one part of the trailer.
With the... brown pants. Hey, he's got the right idea.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah. I wear red so people, so the bad guys can't see me bleed. He must be wearing brown pants.
Yeah.
No, but that's exactly what I expected in a Deadpool movie. And I don't know how I feel about it.
It was funny the scene when he does makes fun of Green Lantern, like being in the Green
Lantern. I like that.
I see why they did it. In another way, I'm just like,
I must have missed that scene.
He says, at least it's not green.
Oh, yeah. Don't make my costume green or animated.
But I get why they did that at Comic-Con, though. They put that in that trailer.
Well, but the other thing is, that's Deadpool breaking the fourth wall, which is what...
I get you.
You know, that makes...
Okay. Here we go. Vindication.
This ain't no task force. Let's call it like it is. Welcome to the Suicide Squad.
That's nowhere near.
That is not even.
But it's more than just the Suicide Squad. It's the Suicide.
That is as close to what you just said as Jiggy Jardar Do or whatever that.
I can play that.
The Jiggy Jardar Do.
It's in the queue.
The Suicide Squad or something.
But it's Squad. It's
drag out on that.
He sure did.
You are delusional.
He didn't really.
You just hurt yourself by playing that.
He wasn't like a Suicide Squad.
Let's call it like it is. Welcome to the Suicide Squad.
You just asked OJ to try on the glove.
It was like, he said Suicide Squad.
Continue,
sir.
And then they confirmed that Tilda Swinton will be the Ancient One in the Doctor Strange movie. They changed it from being an old Asian guy to a white chick, but okay.
But she's like androgynous almost. If you remember that in the Hellblazer movie, she played the demon and you didn't know what she was. You know, she was male or female.
I don't have a problem with it, but he's traditionally
she could play
shown
Lucifer in Wicked and Divine movie.
Yeah.
What's his name? Wong or whatever?
No, the Ancient One.
Is he going to be in that movie?
Who, Wong?
Yeah.
Probably. That's his manservant.
Yeah, he's got to be there. They don't even cast him. Who wants to go see that?
And then,
you know, they've cast Dormammu. That's Chewie Okafor or something like that.
Chewbacca?
No.
I did not say that.
You almost did. Chewbacca.
That movie will get a ton of people just because of who's playing Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
And we'll get a nice Doctor Strange miniseries out of it.
Well, they announced the Doctor Strange book. It's
he's
Jason
hearing
Aaron's
an axe
on it.
In the movie. Right, I'm calling shenanigans on Marvel.
You think he'll only be...
I don't think all those announcements are ongoing series. I think they're unannounced miniseries. Kind of like Spider-Gwen was.
And Silk.
It's their last day.
All new Hawkeye.
Look, they had meant to be long-running series.
Right.
The problem is the Earths collided.
Earths.
Hey, look, he's from Philly. I'm from Philly. That's how we pronounce it.
You sounded
that's
just Earth. Like the guy who played that shot in Arrow.
Suicide Squad.
Sure.
Man, see? When I do that, my pal Bugsy was in here. Man.
I hate you.
What is...
Why do I do this again?
I don't know. What's the new Hawkeye book, though? What's it called?
Hawkeye?
All new, all different Hawkeye.
All new, all different. They just keep adding things. What's next?
Man. So,
new.
When did the current Hawkeye book end? Or when?
It hasn't.
Today, I thought.
No, that was the previous
Hawkeye book. I'm so bummed. I was not able.
I can't even speak. So was on spot.
Today, Junior.
It's curtains for you.
Just after we've been talking about it for so long, I was just bummed that I wasn't able to have a podcast last week to say, look what's coming, it's Hawkeye finally. So.
You never got to announce it.
No. Mm-hmm.
They stuck it, they're like, Colin's not here this week, let's sneak out next week.
Nobody's going to know. I didn't even know until I checked it in, until I opened the box and it was there. I was like, holy crap.
Yeah, I looked at my Comixology pull list, I was like, wait a minute, is that right? So I had to look somewhere else.
Well, because when I was in San Diego and I'm looking at the invoice on my phone, I'm just kind of going, oh, okay, da-da-da-da-da, you know. And it was really short, really small. This is like this week was like half a normal.
There's that's where she said in there, isn't it? I'm sorry when he smiled. I was just like, it's there. I wasn't gonna say anything.
Yeah, like Inspector looking.
We both were just like.
Now Colin's crying.
I'm
not crying.
If he's crying, it's for reasons of being here.
You have to appreciate a good that's what she said joke, though, right?
Yeah. Okay. Come on. You set us up for it. It's your fault.
Come on. Kind of a Diet Coke.
And we'll go with one TV thing. They casted Elektra.
That's perfect.
For Nancy. The...
feel good about yourself
I
now?
Do.
For the Daredevil show, and it's Elodie Jung, who played... Jinx in the second G.I. Joe movie.
I don't remember her at all from that movie.
I don't
movie.
Remember it.
But the picture
oh, the
they showed... No?
G.I. Joe movie?
Yeah.
No, I mean G.I. Joe movie.
So I don't remember much from it. Who's she playing? I'm gonna say.
She's going to be Elektra.
Okay.
The stills they showed from the G.I. Joe movie, she looked like Elektra.
Yeah.
It was four colors.
Yeah. So although a little more... obvious, because she is... I think she's part Chinese or something. So there's more of an Asian influence. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, she did look a lot
like that.
What I thought Elektra...
Why is her name Elektra? That's a Greek name.
She could be Greek.
I know that, but why would she have more of an Asian...
Because the actress herself is Asian.
Yeah, but why would you change that completely, is what I'm saying.
What are you talking about?
Wait, you can't change it from what, Adam?
I thought you were saying that it was... That they were going to add it as the character is more Asian.
Adam, the books are wrong. She's Asian. We have to change things to match the movie and TV show. Come on.
Come on. Exactly.
You don't know how things work anymore.
Why don't they just bring back Jennifer Garner?
Who wasn't Greek either.
She's single now.
No, she was Greek.
Was she?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That maybe she was.
Elektra Nachos.
She just never spoke Greek. Or Spanish, because she apparently can do that, too.
But she like Euros.
So that just does it right there.
Yeah. That's how you knew she was Greek.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go get a gyro. Oh, okay, she's Greek. And then, Dave, you should like this. Apparently, there's an Archie show called Riverdale that's going to the CW.
Why not?
Why not?
To tie in with the new book.
CW has finally just embraced, like, we will be the confrontation.
Yeah. Screw it. We're going all in.
But might as well, if it's getting
CW. They showed that, the trailer for the Legends of Tomorrow again. I got chills again. That thing, that one just totally gives me chills.
Was it a different trailer?
No,
was it
same trailer, but it was on the giant screen.
They pushed that back, didn't they?
Yeah, they pushed that. It was originally supposed to be a hiatus show, and then they pushed it to spring.
Which I'm for, because this way they can set it up properly in the other shows and then have it launch.
Well, I think the other thing it does is it, you know, they did it with iZombie,
mm-hmm.
and... Especially towards the end, it's not running against anything. Like, it doesn't have competition. So it might work better.
I'm going to get chills when I see Jughead and Hot Dog together, so. In the new Riverdale show.
That's what she said.
This is a family podcast.
Not like that.
He's Colin.
Or maybe like that.
Backfired on you.
We lost our last three listeners.
Is that Chad one of them?
Chill mood. Way to go.
Yeah.
Sorry. It was an accident.
CW is going to have to expand their programming week with all these shows coming on. My goodness.
But they could, you know, Fox, when Fox first started, it only had like 3 nights a week of programming, and then it eventually expanded. Maybe they'll do the same thing here, and, you know.
I hope Archie shares the universe with Flash and iZombie.
Yeah.
Arrow shoots Reggie. You have failed this city.
But he's a zombie, so it's okay. Or is Reggie a zombie yet? No, in Afterlife?
I don't know.
No.
No, he's not. He's still there. We just haven't seen him because the
Now, see, that's what I want to see in the Riverdale show, is have it transition. Like, have it start off, like, the first couple episodes, like, for, and then, like, what is it? October, or so, whenever they have their first sweeps period,
yeah.
Go to Afterlife with Archie and keep it that way.
Yeah,
what if they have Predator cameo
first? Yeah, they
could
do a Halloween episode.
What's that?
They have Predator cameo first. Predator kills. Predator kills someone, then Sabrina tries to bring them
back,
and that's how it all just leads into Afterlife.
I like it.
There you go.
Yeah.
And then the zombies are killed by a Sharknado.
No.
Yeah, that one.
No, because then you got to bring Tara Reid on, and we're not doing that.
This is it's
he is showing
not a children's
Archie
show,
Shark-
but
yeah, yeah,
it's not.
So are you will you be buying Archie versus Sharknado?
Got the answer to that? Of course.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what I got for news.
You don't really
Colin.
Know me at
that's
all,
it?
Josh. Do you?
It's only been an hour and a half.
Our hardly Thunder buddies.
Well,
that was 2 weeks ago.
Oh yeah,
they're not Thunder buddies
that
anymore.
That was over. It's Thunder relationship.
Okay, that's a pot. Oh wait, no, we have 2 weeks worth of books to go through. So
we have to talk
we'll
about
probably,
2 weeks.
No,
so
we'll truncate it.
We'll truncate it because we know I know people. You know, part, well, anybody that's still listening.
Won't want to continue.
Won't want to continue. So,
you can say like, this was awesome.
Let's do highlights. Only talk about good things. No, I don't. I'll start.
Okay, go ahead.
I'll start because I read a few. I mentioned Onyx was basically a ROM book, and it was really, really fun. Secret Wars 4. You like Secret Wars 4, Adam? Lots of stuff happened. That one kind of got us where we need to be, as far as making this seem really big, really epic.
Yeah.
The other ones were kind of getting us there, but nothing huge. This one, really big stuff happened.
They really need to work on their pacing. This should have happened in issue 2.
Yeah.
Not issue 4.
Yeah.
Or even issue 3, since issue 2 was technically issue 1 of Secret Wars, where issue 1 was the all
kinda,
everything
okay, yeah,
smashing
yeah.
together.
Okay, yeah.
So one was the first issue of Battle World. How about that?
Okay, yeah.
So maybe in the second issue of Battle World. So, yeah, a lot happened, but sadly it's one of those, you know, it doesn't matter because, well, spoilers, when Doctor Strange dies and then that same week they announce a new Doctor Strange book, it's
a
little
strange.
Hard. It's a little hard to take it as meaningful and as long lasting. So you kind of, you know, it doesn't matter, and it takes a lot of the weight away from the book, even though they were there saying, oh, you know, there's going to be major impact to the universe from this and stuff. You're like,
no, there
no, I don't believe you. I'm sorry, but I don't believe
I
you.
I call shenanigans.
You know
there might be exactly. some, like, I saw something where Ultimate Reed Richards is going to be in one of the books, one of these new announcements. Yeah. I saw something about that today. And it's like, okay, but it's just a case of moving the deck chairs around. It's like, oh, now we're going to have Reed Richards over here, and we're going to have, you know, it's not...
I think they overdid it in explaining it during that press conference with Brie Vorn.
They made it sound...
Because they made it sound like it was going to be the earth-shattering thing that was going to change and bring us into what the world...
Well,
we're
but even
know.
At the end of issue 1, they said Marvel 616 universe, Marvel 1610 universe. And there were end dates. They're
and
over.
Now, yeah. Now they're kind of backpedaling, going, "Oh, well, it's just a story." And it's like,
it's
you know, your whole thing
it's
was
like
it's a story
because
you wrote
this,
yourself in a corner.
It's
going
to end just for this event, but after that,
it's back to normal. Oh,
yeah.
You know,
which
yeah, because Spider Gwen number 1 is coming, and it's basically just going to be issue 6, and it's like, well, so this,
yeah, because there has
and
to
we're
be...
only halfway through, and now it's already
well,
kind of lost.
What's
going to
happen at the very end of issue 8? Reed Richards is going to be laying in bed, and I just had a horrible dream. I ate too much brisket.
Is there such a thing?
It'll be the whole Dallas thing.
Yeah,
Colin,
there is.
Burn Doom Bean in the shower.
Oh, how were the onions in your brisket, by the way?
How were the what?
How were the onions in your
there
brisket?
There weren't any.
I thought you got with onions.
No,
no.
He didn't.
No, there was no option to add them. But thanks, so. No, it was just regular brisket. And it was delicious, thank
you.
Yeah. He said they never mentioned that to him, so he says you're delusional.
He mentioned it twice to me. He's like, this is what I get on it. And I was just like, I wouldn't know, but...
Okay.
Because he works there. He just puts every once on it.
I guess that's probably why. He's just like, but, you know.
Fair enough.
Candy hard on it if I want, you know.
Okay, we get it, Adam.
Moving on. Okay, The Spire, number one. Now, I was predisposed to really like this book. It's by the same creative team as Six Gun Gorilla from Boom.
Mm-hmm. That book was terrible.
Oh, I'm going to stab you in the eye. Oh, great. That's on recorded now.
I'm
so
kidding.
If you ever get stabbed in the eye, I'm on the hook.
I loved
Just
it.
Just make sure you have a good alibi.
But I do fear that Colin will stab me in the eye.
No, and so it was funny because the storytelling on it in the beginning wasn't great, just as far as stuff was going on, but you weren't really sure who they were, and like it didn't follow the characters that did one thing here, and then a couple pages later somebody was doing something. You didn't necessarily realize it was the same characters doing it, but by the time you got to the end, it didn't matter because it was so cool. Just really neat book about this spire in this like desert, and that's where everybody lives. It's like a town in this huge tower, and the king dies, and the queen or the daughter, I'm not sure who, takes over, but everything's changing. And the main character that you're following is like the head of the guard, head of the king's guard, but it is all of a sudden not being consulted on things. And it's kind of being pushed away, and you don't know why. But she has these powers or something, like these tendrils that she can use to grab people and stuff, but makes a point to saying she's the last of her kind that can do this. It's weird, but it's cool. It's like it comes out from under her coat and stuff, but
yeah,
it's neat.
Cool.
But and then all of a sudden at the very end, there's somebody who also has this and is like, let's go get the person that stole my power and stuff. But so by the end, you're just like, you're totally fascinated, and the little shortcomings from the very beginning don't really matter. Like, I had to go back and reread it, and it made sense after, but at the time I was a little confused, but I'm definitely in for the long haul on The Spire. And then the other one from 2 weeks ago was We Stand on Guard.
Mm. Yes.
Which is the new Brian K. Vaughan.
Yeah.
It is, there was a terrorist attack against the White House, and apparently the U.S. believes that Canada did it, and they did a full-out invasion of Canada, including giant robots.
Yeah.
And everything is told from the Canadian point of view of this young girl who at the time of the initial invasion is her family's wiped out. And then it's, I think, like 12 years later.
Yeah.
And now she's grown up. She's like 18, 20 and is kind of joining the resistance.
She's 17.
Okay. But I thought that was very, very good.
Yeah.
I thought that was
good.
Yeah.
It was definitely a mature book.
Yes.
But it was funny because it's an Image book, and they even Superman kind of played a role. At least the idea of Superman played a role, and that was kind of interesting.
That was the line of the book with that whole page.
Yeah,
Superman's.
But and it's one of those things where I don't think DC would care.
No,
because there's nothing wrong with their usage, and it's not they're not writing a Superman book. They're using the idea of Superman, which I don't know if you can really copyright. They could copyright
not
maybe the
point.
Symbol.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you really could, because they weren't abusing it or anything. It was just showing this guy's...
I don't know if it's fair use, necessarily, but it's...
It kind of was, though.
I think to reference it, it's fair use.
Yeah.
To tell, like, a Superman story isn't...
Right, but they were just using the...
But it as a pop culture.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's
But
true,
it was a little jarring seeing that. And it was... what was I reading? I was reading a book today, and I think it was a DC book made reference to a Marvel character on a show, like in the DCU, they reference.
Yeah, there was.
I honestly can't tell you which one it
was. There
was
something, and I forget what it was. I actually,
or maybe it was, maybe it was the other way. It was a Marvel book referring to DC. That I'm not sure. It was something I read. I just thought that was very interesting that they mentioned the other company, but it was as a TV show. So, and then just quickly through last week's books, just the Batman 42 was good, but nothing outstanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the Bat-Truck.
Yeah, Bat-Truck. Just the way they kept saying it at the panel was Bat-Truck, and I thought it was very funny the way they said it. 1872 was interesting.
I liked it,
but it doesn't make sense as a Battle Worlds book. It was just an interesting. It's like an Elseworlds.
Yeah,
it's just
like
imagine. Your Marvel character, like 1602, this was 1872, and that's all it really was.
But all the characters felt like themselves.
They did. I found one thing that made me go, they Hank Pym in the beginning has a little map of all the people's houses, and you know Hank Pym was there from the Age of Ultron Marvel Zombies book, but they show the Vision, which is like one of those you put a coin in and it tells your fortune thing, and it was the Vision of the future, but it was created by Stark. I'm like, ah, you're already adapting the movies. Okay. Stark created Vision. But very much just an Elseworlds, not really so much a Battleworlds book. Spider-Verse was okay. Strange Fruit was interesting. That's a Mark Waid beautifully drawn, painted. Well, I'll let you talk about it then. But J.G. Jones painted. I thought that was beautiful. Tomorrow's was a Kurt Pyre. He was one of those guys I talked to at San Diego. Interesting book. Each book is going to be done by a different artist. He's writing them all, but each one's a different artist. And it's basically about these... It's set a little bit in the future, and it's these rebels, kind of. The corporations are taking over, and they've decided to come and try to reclaim things. So that was good. And then I read Transference, and that's from Black Mask, my new best friends. And that was interesting. It's a time travel thing where these guys are in charge of kind of keeping the time stream in order. And if something goes wrong, like this guy was starting to date this girl, it's like, well, they had to come back and say no, because if you marry her, she's not going to do this, which affects the future. So they kind of maintain. And one guy notices things are going a little wonky because all of a sudden he got up and there was like alcohol in his fridge. And it's like, clearly the implication is he's had an alcohol problem in the past, and there is not that anymore. And little things that he's noticing are off, and they want him to go back and kill somebody, and they're like, well, they don't do that because of the implications that could happen. And then as the story's going along, all of a sudden, like, his wedding ring's gone. And he's like, where's my wedding ring? And then he runs into his wife, and she doesn't know who he is. And just, like, things... Somebody who's against them has been able to go back in time and change things to mess these guys up. It was very interesting. It was well done.
Yeah, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, no, I caught that because it's definitely the Vision.
Yeah, now I'm looking at it. It's definitely him.
But it's Stark's Vision of the future. So I just found that interesting. That's like, ah, Pym, you know, or Ultron didn't create the
good
Vision.
Catch.
Thank you. So that's all I got. Dave, we'll let Dave go.
We'll start with Strange Fruit, number one. By Mark Waid, J.G. Jones. It takes place in Mississippi, 1927.
Oh, is that old? I didn't realize it was that far. I figured it was the 50s, but okay.
It was 1927.
Just 'cause it was from your childhood.
The flood's coming. Supposedly there was a great Mississippi flood of 1927 it's a very politically charged book. They're getting the African-American men to sandbag the town to protect against this flood, whether they want to or not.
And the government had also sent down, like, somebody from the Army Corps of Engineers, but he's African-American as well.
Yeah.
And so nobody's listening to him.
Hmm. Yeah, the guy, there's a main character, Sonny, he's on the run from the KKKs in this book.
Right.
And
there's a lot of, yeah, there's a, it, the timing was very interesting.
Yes.
They were talking about that in San Diego, just that there was a lot of controversy around this book. I'm like, well, I didn't get a chance to read it. And when I read it, I'm like, okay, relax, people. You know, it's set back in that time.
This stuff actually happened. You can't pretend that it didn't.
Well, right. But like you were saying, Sonny was in this club that they come into saying, you know, you guys got to get out of this club, even though they're not working. You know, they're off the clock. You got to fill sandbags to save the town. And this one guy, Sonny, I guess they were after. And all of a sudden, he goes running. And he goes, what was it, the governor's mansion? Or the senator?
Yeah, I think he's a senator, yeah.
And where he was, like, protecting his staff of African-Americans. And, you know, they're like, oh, you know, the election's coming up. And they're all in their hoods and everything. So it was, you know, very definitely racially... But that, I think that's the whole point of it.
Yeah. Yeah, so he runs in, after that, he runs into a field and...
Well, at some point, while they're all out there looking at the rain and everything, all of a sudden, like a comet, or a meteor, I guess it would be, crashes into the earth right near them, and the one guy's like, what else can possibly happen? But then it turns out that it wasn't a meteor, it was like some sort of alien...
An alien African-American man... And he's naked.
Well, was it him, or was he one of the guys that got near it?
I couldn't tell.
See, I thought it was somebody, like one of the farm workers got near it and touched it, because the one guy referenced him by Johnson.
Yeah.
And called him Johnson. And then, because he was naked, he handed him a Confederate flag.
Yeah, sure.
He's like, everybody can see you're Johnson. And then he's like, here. And then so he put that, wrapped that around his waist. And he goes, those boys aren't going to like this at all.
It couldn't be more, meaning
be
more time.
The Klan.
Without the, yeah. what's going on.
But it was very good. But it was beautifully
yeah.
drawn. It was painted yeah. by J.G. Johnson. It
was, yeah, it
was really
a
beautiful,
beautiful book.
So, sorry, I like stole half your thing. Sorry, dude.
No, that's fine.
Thunder Buddies. It's cool.
Thunder Buddies.
That's fine. How about Descender number 5?
That was good.
Wasn't
so
that good?
Yeah, I really, really like this book.
They the entire crew, there's Tim, the boy robot, and Ian Driller, and Dr. Kwan, and
Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan.
He did not say Chaka Khan.
And Tesla, and they're all captured by the scrappers, and they're taking Tim and Driller away to be melted down or something.
You think they're being melted down, but then you find out that
arena. I mean,
yeah.
just this Driller. Tim was with the other people, yeah. I'm sorry. And they start torturing.
Driller and one of the human crew. I forget what his name
yeah,
is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they start torturing Dr. Kwan. And I was not expecting that
they,
at all.
Yeah, like, they skipped the, like, foreplay of torture and
yeah.
went right to the, you know, heavy stuff.
Yeah, so he gets to Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, he got the Luke Skywalker right away.
And that was...
Which leads to a huge, you know, revelation.
Huge revelation that Dr. Kwan didn't invent these robots. He stole his stole the research from someone else.
Yeah.
Which was... that was such a good issue. That was fascinating.
It's been a really good book. I would recommend, if you like sci-fi, pick up the trade when this comes out, because it should be soon.
How about Lando number 1? Anybody read Lando?
Yeah,
I enjoyed it.
I like that.
I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I've only read the number 1s of most of the Star Wars books, but I think that was actually my favorite that I've read so far.
Yeah, I thought it was great. It's basically, it's almost like a buddy series with
him and Lobot.
Lando and Lobot, which was fantastic.
I think I liked it so much because this is a character you know like nothing about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
This really felt like a good place to have a comic book.
A story, yeah. And then, you know, as I'm reading it, I got Billy Dee Williams in my head.
Yeah,
saying
the voice.
Line.
Like, yeah,
of course.
Same here.
Yeah, they didn't ruin... He was good with writing the voice, Charles Soule.
Yeah. And it absolutely sounded like something you could hear Billy Dee Williams saying the
exactly.
whole time.
Somebody was telling me this morning that somebody was very upset about it because the guy... I forget the name. The guy with the...
Lobot?
Yeah. That they did something there that contradicted something that had happened in the shared universe, or the... whatever, the books.
The extended universe?
Yeah,
but they already said, though, that none of that...
Right, but it was just funny that somebody would get upset about that character being misportrayed.
That's her favorite Star Wars character.
Yeah.
Like the Rancor Keeper.
Which I didn't read it, so continue.
And Starve number 2. From Image was really good. This is by Brian Wood and Daniel.
I really like the first. I just didn't have a chance to get the second one.
Yeah, it was good. These the chef Gavin, he's out in the town with his buddy Sheldon, and they go into a restaurant. Gavin cooks the meal for the people in the restaurant without them knowing that it's him. And he's like, that's the way chefs should be, you know. So many chefs are in love with the idea of being chefs instead of it being all about the food. Like that commentary.
Okay.
And he's called back to the set, and they all have to cook a bluefin dish, but bluefin is it's regulated by the government, so. Before they can cook it, they all have to go out and try to find some bluefin. And I thought it was really good. It's just how this future world Brian Woods created around this cooking television show. It's just, you just didn't expect this at all. But it's a really good book. And
did you read Bloodshot?
I read Bloodshot, yeah. Do you want to talk about that, or... I was going to leave that for
you.
Leave
me Thunder Buddies.
Yeah, Bloodshot.
So this really, like, starts to pave the way for the future of this series.
Well, this is him against this guy, Mike, who's been taken over by the Neonites.
Yeah, so he's still on his quest to try and, find these people that the Nanites have infected after the Geomancer freed him of the Nanites, since he seems to be the only one that can control them properly. But the big revelation is, when he goes to take out Mike, and then Mike's, girlfriend is there, and he ends up, taking her with him, so she's not caught by the cops at the end.
Right.
And then it sets up for, foreshadowing the future where she ends up staying with him and somehow it leads to his, ultimate demise.
Yeah. Magic.
Yeah. Yeah, her name is Magic. Not the Magic on the X-Men team, but it's funny that Jeff Lemire called the character Magic.
Yeah.
And then we find out that he loves the X-Men character Magic.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I didn't get that connection when I first read it.
Yeah. And then you had his visions of the, Geomancer and Blood Squirt, questioning his, his motives and saying just to, get rid of her, kill her, don't leave someone behind.
And Blood Squirt's going to bring the hurt, he says.
Yeah, Blood Squirt's going to bring the hurt.
And next issue is the Blood Squirt issue, which...
Yeah.
Blood Squirt Universe, or whatever.
So it feels like this issue was the end of the current arc.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. So it's probably where the trade is at, I think. So I think Jeff Lemire is drawing the whole next issue since it's Blood Squirt.
Okay. You don't know this Magic character? She hasn't been in any books before, is this new?
Not to my knowledge, no. Okay. Unless she's a character from, the original Valiant Universe in the 90s, but... Or, yeah. She hasn't been in the current Valiant stuff at all, to my knowledge.
Okay. And you're going to talk about Rebels, Pat?
I can.
I'll leave that to you.
Thunder Buddies.
Yeah, we can be Thunder Buddies, guys.
Well, let me just mention... I'll mention Archie, number one. Adam read that.
Right. Adam, wake up!
I thought it was good. Just wasn't a reinvention of the wheel or anything. Just a little bit more modern take on the characters.
Yeah, I don't think that's the best way of putting it because they didn't redo anything really. I mean, certain
Veronica's characters a stripper have, now.
Well, we haven't Betty introduced any of them.
Stripper with a heart of gold.
I love how they did it though. They did a real creative way of just bringing you back into this world a little bit.
It's kind of like an origin. You find Archie's breaking the.
I like how he's talking to you. Yeah,
he's talking to the audience, and he's broken up with Betty over the lipstick incident,
which we still don't know what happened there.
Yeah. And then you learn,
at a lipstick party. That's very un-Archie.
they said that's the whole thing.
It's my nightmare.
I love how they dealt with characters. They took Archie. Archie felt like Archie. He was talking to you, welcoming you to Riverdale. He just felt like the character. Then you had I think it was Kevin Keller. What do you think? Two other people. I can't remember.
There were some new characters.
Yeah, they were trying to figure out what the lipstick incident was, and they were even trying to get Jughead involved. And I love how Jughead was just very
Jughead. Well, Jughead. He's like smarter than all of them because they're trying to get Archie and Betty together as homecoming king and queen.
Yeah,
and
but he knew what would really work.
But Jughead is Archie's best pal, and he knows how to.
They thought if they won as king and queen of the homecoming, then that would get them back together. But Jughead looked at it as the way as no, you were going to put him on the spot, and they wouldn't have wanted that. Instead, they gotta watch each other having fun in their own way, and then they, miss each other is what his plan was. So Archie, even though Jughead, they wanted him to get involved in everything to solve the situation in the end, he solved it in the right way of doing it.
Right.
Which shows him being a lot smarter of a character than they let on.
Yeah.
But it was written a lot better, because they had this whole plan involved of how Jughead was doing what, and it wasn't like an Archie comic in that way, that it actually had a pretty good written plan to it.
Right.
from A to B. They haven't introduced Veronica yet, but I love that last panel with
Archie walking past the Lodge poster,
and it's him just staring at it's Mr. Lodge in the picture, just looking at Archie like with a mad look on his face.
Yeah,
but I think he got the characters. I think it has a lot of potential to be something really interesting. And not only that, as you mentioned before, the Riverdale show, it's going to be good to have that on a shelf while that's coming out, because if there's interest in that, it might bring interest into a comic that is almost going to be kind of similar to it. So I think they did a good job with this. All the covers too. There were a lot of really good covers for this. So that was good.
Okay. I'll stop there. Go on to Pat.
Okay. From 2 weeks ago, the only other one I want to hit that we haven't talked about.
Green Lantern.
No. I'll let you talk about that.
Left that one.
We're talking about it.
That's this week. Last week.
No, that was 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, okay. Bizarro. It's an e-book, so I guess that's all ages, or is that...
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Everyone.
Yeah. This is a really funny book, and it would be a good book for kids. The premise of it is... Jimmy Olsen is taking Bizarro to Canada, which he thinks is Bizarro America.
And I forget why was he taking him there, because he thought
Superman told him to.
He needed to get him out of Metropolis because Metropolis was tired of all the accidents that he was causing.
And he kept saying it was Superman's brother.
Yeah, that's right.
So, now they're on a road trip, and one of
that's why I got that.
One of the. The things in it is they're going to different cities in the DC universe. Like, they go to Gotham. And that's actually the cover of this issue, which was really good, was Bizarro in a Batman costume and Jimmy Olsen is the Robin. And they go to the Central City, and he knocks out the Flash accidentally, and the Flash kind of goes, oh, did I just get hit by Superman?
Yeah.
But the one I really liked was they had a picture of him in Star City. And he was wearing a Green Arrow shirt and says, "You have failed this city." And he's, of course, smiling because he's Bizarro and he thinks that's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's little moments like that. It just, it's a good book. Like I said, this would be good for kids. There's nothing
in
there.
Right? It's a mini series?
Yeah, it's a six-issue mini, and this was issue two that came out.
It would also be a really good trade just to pick up, too. That's why I was kind of waiting for some of these. Yeah, it could be, too. I think that is, it's, having these trades, having them as minis is going to help with trades in the long run as well, that, people can pick them up in full collections, so that's cool.
And then from last week, Civil War.
Sold out.
I heard it was good.
Civil War was good.
Yeah. I read Civil War. I heard it wasn't good.
No, I've heard a lot of good.
I liked it.
You're a liar, Josh.
The reviews were not good for it.
I've heard mainly like people who have, not from a lot of review sites, but I've heard a lot of people, customers of, people that
Roundup
know
had
different
like
areas
an average score of, I think, 5 or 6 for it.
It starts off as kind of the original Civil War story where there's the Registration Act. But apparently in this universe, it never ended.
Yeah.
And what eventually happens is the world...
It's kind of another what if for Elseworlds.
Kind of.
All of these in a way are...
Yeah, but... And it doesn't really tie in too much with Secret Wars, or it didn't in this issue.
None of them really have.
But... what ends up happening is there's a split. There's the Iron Side, obviously run by Iron Man, and it's very, meticulous and very, this is the law and it is what it is. And then there's the Blue Side, which is Cap's side, and that's what it seems like is that's everything that would have been west of the Mississippi, and then the Iron Side's everything east. So there's more land on the western side, but there's less population. It's not... lawless, but it's libertarian, I guess, is the best way to deal with it. It's more, you do what you want as long as you don't mess with anybody else's rights. So what ends up happening is the mother, Miriam, whatever her name was.
Sharp.
From Civil War gets the two of them together, basically like a peace conference at her house. We find out that Peter is, he's kind of Spider Falcon at this point. He's got the wings like Falcon, but his costume is still kind of very Spider-Man-ish.
That sounds interesting.
MJ and his daughter are living on the Tony Stark side, where he's with Cap. And someone is apparently trying to assassinate Cap, and instead they kill Miriam Sharp. I guess it came from Iron Man's side, so they're automatically thinking that, you know, someone from his side is the one that did it. And that's kind of where it leaves you at that point. This was a book that I was kind of like, I don't know, because I did like the original Civil War, and I didn't, know how this would tie in. But it was a what if, and I thought it did a really good job of not only keeping in line what we knew, but expanding on it. So it was pretty good. Star Trek Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Great book.
That was another really good book, and that was one that I wasn't sure how I would feel about it.
Yeah, it was great.
It's the Star Trek cast from the J.J. Abrams movie, or, you know, they were drawn to resemble that group as opposed to the older Shatner and Nimoy Star Trek crew. So essentially, something out there is, I guess, trying to drain. It almost seemed like a relic type situation where they're trying to drain all the emotional energy.
It seemed
energy.
Like he was the only one left.
Gantt was the only one left.
So something
he only
has been
had
going after him, and you don't really know who.
Who?
But his plan is to, the one he did take out the bad guy, whoever the antagonist is, was Mogo. And he's on Mogo at the time, Gantt.
Yeah.
And Gantt uses, like, I guess the last bit of energy in order to transport it to the Star Trek
universe, yeah. So the Enterprise runs into this, and you know, they, of course, have the away team that goes down and they find Gantt.
What did they call it? It was like a rogue planet or something like that. That it had nothing. It wasn't really
orbiting a star.
Yeah, exactly.
So they find him and you know, rings are at that point released. Well, I'm sorry.
When Scotty was examining them, that's how they got released.
Right, but first, General Chang, who was the Klingon general in Star Trek VI.
Played by the dad from The Sound of Music.
The undercover.
That's right, yeah, it was Discovered Country.
Plumber.
Christopher
Plummer. Yeah, it's Christopher Plummer.
Yeah.
Undiscovered Country.
Yeah, he shows up.
Great movie.
And you know, basically.
Star Wars 6? What? Shut your damn mouth.
Well, yeah, that was a good movie. Yeah.
You know, and you know, he's getting ready to blow up the Enterprise. Scotty was working on trying to figure out what these rings were.
Yeah.
And the rings burst forth and go and find new holders. General Chang gets the yellow ring. Uhura gets.
Kirk got the pink ring.
No, Kirk. Kirk didn't get a ring.
Uhura got the Star Sapphire.
Yeah, she got the Star Sapphire ring. Bones got the Hope ring.
Yeah.
No.
Dr. McCoy got Hope.
Yeah.
Did he get Hope? What did Chekhov get?
Chekhov got. Was he green?
No one got green.
Hal had green.
Yeah, Hal Jordan shows up somehow and he
had
green.
Green.
Who got red?
I still don't know who got red.
I have.
I hope it was
Uhura got red. If that's right.
No, she got the Star Sapphire.
I kept thinking Chekhov got Hope. Chekhov got something because he was the second one to get the ring.
No, it was definitely Bones that got Hope.
Chekhov must have got the other one, purple, or the
Compassion.
Compassion. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
Is that what the Indigo one is?
Yeah.
Compassion.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It had to have been him. Red kind of just disappeared.
Yeah.
No, they never showed it. Or Greed. They didn't show Orange either.
I thought they did show Greed.
Did that?
I don't remember saying that.
I was hoping that it was Mr. Scott's little like friend who got wrath or something like that, because he was angry all the time. Because yeah. then, isn't that what he kept saying? He was like, you're always angry or something like that in the book? Right at the beginning when they were fighting?
Actually, he might have got wrecked. I remember there was a little panel with him.
Yeah, I bet he could have been. That could have been. But again, not a book that I had a lot of expectation for, and it certainly surpassed it. It's really good.
It sounded very far-fetched.
Yeah,
but the Star Trek parts felt very
Star Trek.
And the Green Lantern parts felt very much like a Green Lantern book. Like it felt like IDW, the Star Trek folks at IDW, and the Lantern folks at DC actually worked together to make this.
And that's it. Kind of how they did it was this issue itself really just worked for a good introduction. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it was like almost a perfect introduction book where it showed you everything you need to know. Now we can tell the story, you know? Mm-hmm. This is how it happens. This is where they are now. You know, where are we going to go from there? So, yeah, it was really good.
Yep. Next, Rebels. So, this takes place during the first battle of Bunker Hill. And, you know, after the U.S. or, well, the Continental Army is defeated at the first battle. They're all back at camp, and George Washington and Benedict Arnold show up, and they're talking to Ethan Allen, and they give a mission to go to Fort Ticonderoga and get the cannons that were there to take them to Boston to help defend Boston. And he gives the mission to Seth, who is the main character, and there's a little bit of talking back and forth, and essentially Washington and Benedict Arnold don't like Seth. They think he's too quiet and not, I guess, assertive enough. So they tell Ethan Allen, find someone else to do it. And Ethan Allen, no, screw that, he's my guy, and tells him. But the other thing he says is, if you see Washington or you see Arnold, make sure they don't see you. So he gets to Ticonderoga, and they realize it's, you know, not a quick mission. This is going to take weeks to build the equipment they need to drag these cannons from Ticonderoga to Boston. So, you know, they have a few days, and it's suggested that he goes back home, because I guess it's only like a day's walk home. To see his wife, and he basically says no, because they already got it out for me. I can't do that. Let's get these cannons where they need to go so I can get home permanently. And that's where it leads off. This has been a really good book. As a history buff, I really like it. Seeing the interaction between the different people and that it's put in the context of real events is what I really like about this. You know, it's kind of like a history lesson in a comic book.
Yeah, I thought it was a great issue, and Seth is becoming a fully rounded character that I'm really invested in and seeing what happens to him. So it was a really great issue.
And the last one I want to talk about is JLA.
I didn't pick up number two.
Number two was much, much better than number one.
I heard, just like Civil War, I heard the opposite, that it was worse than the first one.
There was a lot of time spent on Rao is this god.
Yeah.
And Rao, and Superman trusts him. Superman trusts him. Superman trusts him. And it just, it got, Superman, I get they were really trying to put it in, and where Batman doesn't. And Batman and Cyborg kind of go off trying to figure out what's going on, and they're also investigating the Infinity Corporation.
They can't.
It was good. The arc was great. There was a lot of good to it, but there were points where it was like, okay, you made the point. I get it.
Yeah, Superman trusts him, and Batman doesn't. And one of the things,
shocking.
One of the things that Batman brings up to Cyborg, get the Kryptonian protocol. It's essentially the Tower of Babel situation where, you know, he has contingency plans for all
he
the different.
He had those in, I think, Forever Evil. That's when him and Catwoman went into the cave. And something.
Yeah. So that's, you know, his thing is, you know, we don't know if we're going to have to take him down, but we need to
Trinity War.
We need to know that we can. Mm-hmm. Is that what it was, Trinity War? Yeah. But I like this so much better than I liked the first issue. Because where I felt nothing happened until the last page of the first issue, this felt like it had a couple moments that actually happened. Not a great issue. I know Justice League came out today, and I heard it was really good. So, you know, I don't want to say it's even with Justice League, but it picked up above what it was doing in the first issue. Josh?
Okay, so the only one from 2 weeks ago that I think I still want to, you know, talk about would be Green Lantern 42.
Mm-hmm.
So this picks up right where 41 left off, where they, you know, went out to go investigate the core and find out that they're all gone. And then you find that Hal and company are ambushed by, like, the slavers, that he has, you know, one of them on board,
right,
captive. So a big battle ensues, and, you know, the dynamic between, like, Hal and his ship's AI and his prisoner and his, you know, the, I don't want to say crew member, but they, well, I guess it wasn't...
The guy she's rescuing.
I guess it wasn't where the core was at. They left where the core was at to go to the guy's planet.
Yes.
He rescued.
And that's where
they found that planet was destroyed. Or not destroyed, but everything's frozen stone.
Yeah,
so the planet and all the inhabitants are frozen stone, which we saw from a few issues back before Convergence in Green Lantern, right before Hal, you know,
takes off
Kilowog and took off. You saw the, you know, glimpses of planets turning to stone. So it's tying back into that. So that's when they get ambushed by, you know, these slavers, and Hal leaves the ship to try and, you know, fight them with his powers. And you see, you know, Hal, he really doesn't have full control over the gauntlet, mm-hmm, and it can, you know, do things on its own a little bit. And then you start to see, as he's winning the battle, these rocks floating in space. And one of them, you know, just touches the front of the ship, and the whole ship starts to turn to stone. And you realize that it's Source Wall that's, you know, what's causing these, you know, everything to become petrified, essentially. Yeah. So then they're, you know, as Hal's back on the ship, and they're, you know, have this dynamic. So it almost feels like a Guardians of the Galaxy kind of dynamic between everyone on Hal's ship.
Except for there's no hook on a feeling.
Not yet.
What happened to the Source Wall? I don't remember what happened.
Well,
I remember Kyle Rayner like transported it at one time, but I don't remember.
Yeah, and then, you know, when Jordan brought Black Hand there.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. And I forgot all about that.
And then, so that was part of Godhead, and the Guardians warned him not to, you know, get Black Hand involved.
Yeah.
Well, then we see at the end of this issue that Black Hand essentially has, like, it looked like his hands were covered in the Source Wall. And he is just, you know, turning things to stone, trying to...
But he can't raise people from the dead.
Yeah, he's trying to raise people from the dead, and in the process, he's just, like, petrifying.
Yeah, because he can't. Because it's the ring hand, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so... How's that working? I guess because he's still wearing the ring.
You only saw, like, one page.
It's one panel with him in there. It's the last page.
It's a really cool book. I'm really enjoying this new direction of, you know... The Renegade, but still, like, you know,
he's still a Green Lantern
for a good cause.
Yeah,
Hal Jordan, it seemed like him even being more of a rebel than he, you know, was when he was with the Corps. From last week's books, any of you guys read Justice League United?
No.
I kind of stopped with that one because it wasn't really. It was okay. Like it was.
Yeah, it was. Like, and I had high hopes for it with Jeff Lemire writing.
Yeah, and I did as well.
But this is good. It's Jeff Parker.
Especially after Animal Man.
Yeah. It's Jeff Parker writing it now, and Travel Foreman's on art. I like Travel Foreman quite a bit. The book... So the new status quo for Justice League United is it's going to be kind of a rotating cast of characters. So they talk about how, like, Martian Manhunter just, you know, took off. They don't know where, you know, where he went, which ties into Martian Manhunter's current book.
Mr. Crickets or
Biscuits.
So the core group we have now that, you know, are like the main people with JLU, Stargirl, Alana Strange, and Equinox, and then also Animal Man was there as well. I mean, he was there from the previous one. But what's interesting is Equinox seems to be like the leader of this group now, where she was introduced in the, you know, Jeff Lemire run and kind of like thrown to the wayside. He didn't do a whole lot with her, so it was good to see her get more of a center stage and be more of a part of the group now. And I was surprised you were kind of like the leader, but it was still, it was a good dynamic and how they recruited, you know, different people, good and bad, because the task at hand required, you know, their different talents. Like they had Swamp Thing and Poison Ivy and Mira. And the only thing, I like the art a whole lot.
They added Swamp Thing to that team?
To that team.
So he kind of just rotates out?
I think for the next issue he'll be gone, yeah.
Okay.
Unless the threat continues from this issue.
Because I was wondering what they were going to do with him, because once that series ended, I was just like, yeah, it's either something's going to replace it, which I guess we learned.
Or the miniseries, yeah. But yeah, he was there in this issue.
Huh.
Had like a little bit of like a horror vibe. Had some humor in it. The art was great for the most part. There were some things that didn't look right to me, like the way Treble Foreman draws Mira, I thought looked kind of off.
Huh.
But overall, like, I think it was a really solid, you know, first issue for this new direction of Justice League United. I'm definitely on board for the future issues. I think it seems more compelling than the big story that they had in the previous run with, you know, what's the group they're with from the future? Legion of...
Legion.
Yeah, so we'll see where it goes. What other one? Black Science, 16. No, I think all of you that were reading it jumped off.
Yeah, I jumped off. Yeah.
This was a brutal issue, Black Science. So the past few issues, they've been on this world that has been decimated by this plague, and everyone's wearing like these protective, you know, suits, and they almost look like centurions, and it's just this apocalyptic world. Well, where the last issue left off, Grant was trying to, you know, cure everyone of the plague, or cure this world of the plague, before they were about to jump out of that, you know, that dimension. And as he's, you know, he borrowed this device from the shaman. It's with him. The shaman is from this group of Native Americans, but they are super advanced, you know, from a technology standpoint. So he had this gauntlet that could, you know, produce cures for whatever, once they analyzed whatever it was trying to cure. So he's flying, you know, high now to trying to disperse this cure, while at the same time, the rest of them are back to Pillar, waiting for the Pillar to jump and hoping that Grant can get back. Well, the shaman decides the Pillar brings nothing but destruction everywhere they jump to, so he decides they have to destroy the Pillar and then try and just help make the world they're in now that their counterparts from a different dimension have already ruined. And as they're going back and forth about this, finally, you know, Rebecca from the group just comes up behind the shaman and shoots him in the head, and that's where the last issue left off. So this issue, you have Grant trying to cure the plague, Rebecca, the kids, Kadir, and Sean back to Pillar. They're trying to fix the Pillar so that way they can control where it jumps next. They're thinking that the next jump that it makes will actually be the jump back to their dimension.
Quantum Leap.
Kind of like Quantum Leap, yeah. In the process, Kadir, or they get discovered by, you know, one of these centurions who ties back to a character that was with them earlier that got killed from their dimension. So Kadir gets in a fight with that group, and then they find out that Rebecca's trying to alter the coordinates of where the Pillar's going to jump to, and Sean realizes that she sets it to the Earth that's not theirs, and insists that, you know, she's trying to sabotage it. He tries to fix it. As he's trying to fix the coordinates, she hits him over the head with a giant wrench. Looks like he may be killed. Kadir sees this, so Kadir tries to intervene, and as Grant gets back and sees that Kadir is trying to, you know, take out Rebecca, he thinks that Kadir is again trying to sabotage the whole project because there's been a tension between them. He's the one that sabotaged in the first place that caused these erratic jumps. So he goes after Kadir, and before they can stop him and tell him that Kadir, you know, is trying to save them, he ends up killing Kadir, and then the, you know, Pillar eventually jumps to this other dimension that's not their own, because I guess Rebecca's trying to save some version of her brother. And they say that this is the last jump that the Pillar can take because it was damaged, and something with the cooling system, whatever, where after this jump that the pillar is probably going to explode. So it's definitely changing the status quo for how the book's going to be moving forward. It's not going to be these, you know, every issue, every few issues in a different world. But they definitely eliminate a lot of the, you know, players that were involved in the past two issues, because we lost the Shaman, possibly Sean Kadir. So it's been really good. And
it went all Transformers movie on you.
It's been picking up the like intensity in the past few issues. So it's cool. I like it. Adam?
Mate, I guess, 2 weeks ago was Superman?
Was it?
I'm pretty sure it was Superman. Or is it Action?
Action.
Action. Yeah. Action... I've liked all these Superman books that have come out, to tell you the truth. This one hasn't had a huge amount of stuff happening.
I had one big issue with this book, but go ahead.
Basically, it like I said, not a lot is happening in the book. I think it looks real nice. I think art-wise, the book really looks nice. In this, we were last left off with this certain area of Metropolis that has kind of set itself aside, and they're kind of protesting the whole, I guess, are they protesting the Superman thing? Like the whole, him not just being outed, but them kind of how they're treating him, or what were they really? Why did they create their little town on the street?
I think just trying to stand with him.
With like Superman. Saying that, I thought, you know, it had more to do with Superman than that.
He is a hero, and he's, you know, helped them. And
because they're not too sure about him now because of this whole situation.
Yeah, and that's my issue with this is why, just because his identity is being revealed, why is everyone anti-Superman, anti-Clark Kent?
Yeah.
And the whole big, you know, police showing that level of force...
Yeah,
to these people, just not even having like some demonstration
something
somewhere.
We haven't seen, but because like that's people, what's happening. And
the people weren't even like protesting somewhere; they were just outside their homes, essentially like having a block party.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense why they're so mad. Also, they're not really explaining why this police officer is so mad.
It all feels very unearned.
Yeah,
they didn't tell us anything as to why there would be this show of force. So I have trouble like believing it or buying into it.
I think they need to get somewhere a little bit. They need to move it along with the entirety of all these Superman books.
So like the writing and the art and everything, it's great.
I think it's being written well. This one's
but
not
there's
my
a lack
favorite.
Of, there's though. A lack of backstory and explanation as
of
to
why.
How we got to this point.
And I think we were expecting that from the last Superman issue, and they kind of played it up as we were going to get that, and we didn't.
And I don't like this format of we're seeing what's going on right now in Action and Batman, Superman, and I guess Superman, Wonder Woman.
We're seeing it,
but then
happened,
Superman. In Superman, we're seeing what happened way back.
What happened, and it didn't give us enough.
Yeah.
That last, which
and
I
it's
think
coming
it
out after
have.
Though, so we're seeing like the future in or the current in these two books, and then a week or so later, we see that way back, and even that's not giving, like you said, a whole lot.
Yeah.
So
it's.
It's good.
I,
it's just
I,
wacky
yeah,
story.
Exactly.
It's
not the better of the stories of that are coming out. There is this whole thing about him punching the police officer at the end of the book, where he just punches him right in the face, which because he tried everything and nothing worked. This guy was persistent.
Like I think the Greg Pak was trying to like mirror what's been going on. What.
No, I met him in San Diego.
Oh.
Talked to him. Sorry.
Was trying to mirror what's been going on, you know, with police and the news. And
I think so, too. Yeah.
But it was just felt
I
too
thought
over
that
top.
While reading it. It had that feel
it
that
felt,
that's exactly
it felt
what
too over
doing.
The top. Like, they were portraying this, you know, the cop in charge as being way too, like, over
even
the
other police were just like, calm down, buddy. It looks nice.
Yeah.
And all these Superman books, a lot of the DC art has been really just, it has that kind of feel to it right now. That
technically, there's nothing wrong with it. Just needed more backstory.
And I think that's the biggest problem.
This conflict needed to be earned, and it wasn't earned.
Yeah, we're not too sure why it's happening. So, all in all, though, I think Superman has really just made a little bit of a comeback. And I have a feeling if people are reading more Superman, not for you.
Don't call it
a comeback.
Sorry.
We're past the time.
It's way past the time.
Just like, he's done.
You were calling for a 3-hour podcast earlier today.
Yeah. Yeah, we're at 2.5.
And you're fading fast.
Yeah.
The
obviously
other...
he's quoting all of Cool J.
Yeah.
Punch,
we talked
him
about
out,
that.
You know, yeah. It's just all going together.
Superman, Batman.
I
like Superman,
sir.
Batman. I love the
Batman, Superman.
Whatever. I love the whole relationship between him and how he's like Gordon's trying to do this the Batman thing, and he isn't.
I don't think that Greg Pak writes
Batman.
A very good Gordon
yeah.
Batman. Like, some of the things he had Gordon as Batman doing, I couldn't help but think, like, Gordon would not be that, like, Russian, headstrong.
I thought that was odd, too,
yeah.
Because he really...
He's the seasoned,
jumped
like,
into that.
Yeah.
And you think a police officer would at least,
like if they,
especially
if they,
Commissioner
if they made
Gordon,
one of those trainee officers,
yeah,
Batman,
that would have been.
I
different.
Could believe it,
yeah.
But to make you know Commissioner Gordon, who is this seasoned veteran,
yeah,
Marine, worked alongside Batman for all these years,
you wouldn't think
he would not be the one to
that.
Like just
now it was kind of a, like an alien threat, which maybe wouldn't have been his expertise, but still, yeah,
still.
If he was thought it was odd, why would he jump into it? Yeah, I agree with.
I like they were tying back to you know the beginning of Greg Pak's Action Comics run with those those characters again,
but. It was a good tie-in. I do like how these things they're not all connected, so you don't have to read them all at once. But as you said, it kind of we're not getting enough told through them like that. But you know, it's either
it almost like I like that I don't have to read everything.
Yeah,
but
it's almost like you
I almost
should
wish
that
there
because
was because
it would help
some backstory.
Yeah,
but even then, even if you're reading everything, you're still not getting the backstory you need, anyways. So.
Yeah, so that's the thing. It's another book that I also like the art on. I thought the
art's great. Yes, it's good.
Spider-Man Renew Your Vows. It came back. The second issue explains more about the how society is through being run by this new Baron, which is this I forget his name, Rennet or something. I don't know. But he basically has all the powers of these Avengers, and Spider-Man has to be in hiding, including his daughter, who has powers, and they have to wear an inhibitor bracelet in order so they don't see him. And he can basically dissect their powers out of them. It's just, there's a, and the technology is now better because I guess this guy just rules everything. There's a point in the book where they're worried because... Annie's inhibitor bracelet keeps breaking, so they're afraid that, you know, she's using her powers and breaking it while using her powers. That's how powerful she is, I guess. That when they take her to school, they're afraid they're going to figure out that she's using it, and they're going to go after her at school. Well, there's this part in the book where he's at the Daily Bugle, Peter is, and he says, well, there's something happening at the school, when he assumes it's her, and they get there, and it turns out it's the Power Pack. And the Power Pack was, they were at that school hiding, and they accidentally used their powers. So they go after them instead. But it's been good. It's not a bad book. He uses, like, villains as enforcers, so you have, like, he has levels of enforcers. Low-level people are more like, they have Rhino and somebody else. I think it's a Grizzly Bear. And then they promote Shocker to the Elite Force, which is basically the Sinister Six, and they send them after.
So the four Power Pack kids are in.
Yeah,
are in this.
So they're taken.
Are they really young? Or?
Yeah, they're the kids. They're going to school with her, but nobody knew they were there because they were hiding. And then somehow they use their powers, and so he goes after them. And basically, what this guy does is dissects powers out of them. So he has like everybody's ability, including Nightcrawler, which is how he took down the Hulk at the beginning. Which was he teleported, held onto the Hulk, teleported, and took his arm with him.
So he's silent.
So he died. Yeah, kinda. Yeah, that's kinda how he is.
I was watching that all day today.
He's Siler. He just takes abilities from people. So it's good. It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad at all. And Peter keeps having these flashbacks from the first issue of maybe he might have killed Venom. And you're expecting Venom to come back, but he keeps having bad dreams, and that keeps, you know, sparking his powers up a little bit and his spider sense. But it's none of the other Spider-Man issues had that feel that I was like, I want to read that, but that one kind of interests me, so I said I'll pick it up, and it has been good. So Earth 2 Society. I really, it's not as good as, like, I don't like it as well as I like the original series, but it's a good little tie-in to it, that it's taking place afterwards, and it has a good feeling to it that you're reading it, and, you know, it's a little bit into the future after the planet.
Okay.
And then they're going back a little bit to tell you what happened when they arrived to the planet. So you're getting some flashbacks to understand, well, why are we after, like, why are these two groups, like, fighting each other on the future of the planet and stuff like that. I like character, like, I really like the design of Batman. Batman, instead of his of a cape, he's more wearing a trench coat.
Batman.
Dick Grayson.
Dick Grayson.
Yeah.
Is it like the Damian son of Batman?
It's kind of, yeah, kind of like that. It's a little different because the outfit itself, like
it's more of an Azrael type underneath it, yeah. but with the trench coat like Damian.
But it's being told, Dick Grayson Batman is being told very well how he was almost, it kind of feels like the Dick Grayson Batman you were reading from Batman after he died.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just these characters fighting back and forth. It's telling you what happened. You know, basically the cities are created by wherever the certain ships landed, and then they start new cities. One of the cities, I had no idea what it was. I can't remember the name right now, but it wasn't one of the normal cities. I don't really understand. One thing I kept questioning is, well, how is our cities like London and stuff forming? Like, why is everything in the United States? But that's how, and they're using the metal from the ships to build the cities and stuff like that. Gotham gets a metropolis, all sorts of cities. But it's fun. It's a good thing to read after, you know, you were reading all this Convergence stuff. If you've invested time into Earth 2 since it's come out, you might as well pick this up. It hasn't strayed away from what it was like. And then the last thing I read was Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Walking Dead, I got to read. I somehow didn't read the one before that, and so I read them both at once. It was a lot better reading them both at once, I think, than reading them separately. But Rick is he's with the group. They're called the Whisperers, which they really threw that out at you, that they were like, we're the Whisperers, you know?
Yeah.
Because they named them, and then the group themselves called themselves the Whisperers. I was just like, wow, must have caught on. But he goes and deals with that. Carl doesn't want to leave because he knows what this group. He doesn't like the group, the Whisperers.
Yeah.
He doesn't like them. He doesn't want to join them, but he doesn't want to leave the girl.
Yeah,
because
Lydia,
he knows what they've done.
He's protecting her, yeah.
And in this.
Is that the Eye Soccer girl?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. His mother is Alpha, and Alpha infiltrated the festival. And she comes back. And she's holding a bloody machete, and she's just like, I made a border. She's like, you can leave, but don't ever cross the border again. And he wants to take Carl, but Carl doesn't want to go. And then she's just, they get into this whole argument with Lydia. That's her name, Lydia?
Yeah.
With Lydia there about the whole situation. And she, like, condones that, you know, well, rape is fine. Because we should go back to the animalistic behaviors, and that's what they believe. They believe they're animalistic. She said it as in this book as basically it was like children playing pretend, and that's how they feel like life was before, that they were playing pretend all along, even before the zombie apocalypse. And them going back and doing it again doesn't really help, you know. So she says, basically, rape is okay because of that. And he's just like, no, this is ridiculous. So he takes, she gets into this whole argument. She says, you know what? She doesn't really belong with us anyways. She lets him go. But Rick keeps questioning what she was talking about, the border. And when he gets there, he finds pikes with heads on them. And they go through each one and show. And in the end, two of them. One is, what's her name, Rosita?
Yeah, Rosita.
Which is, what's her name, with the hat and the earrings?
Yeah.
Her head's on a pike. And then
Ezekiel.
So Ezekiel's dead. And his head. And both Michonne was there at the time. She was crying. Dwight, isn't his name Dwight? No, Dwight's the guy with the crossbow. Eugene.
Eugene, yeah.
Eugene is, he doesn't know. Yeah, none of them know. She followed people or certain people around, which they did a good job in the book of showing, like, certain people going to the
right
place.
Yeah, they're looking
for
them.
And they played
them.
All those characters up a lot in the entire thing. And then they showed you they were looking for him, and in the end, that's who, you know, died. So, best issue I'd say I've read in a while.
Yeah.
At least something happened. And this group, to me, is more interesting than the Saviors.
So is she trying to start a war then with?
No.
She just, this is how she works. Like, I think it's, this is, she's an more analytical.
But I mean, did she know that those two people were?
I don't know. I think she just grabbed random people and this was to put fear at them. And she, you know, she considers herself an alpha. So in this, she's like telling them, stay away from us. And it's a little more savage than the Saviors were. The Saviors knew what they were doing. They know what they're doing, but it's in their own way. Like, they feel like this is the way life should work, even though it's not going to work out for them. But it was the best issue I think I've read for a long time of The Walking Dead. So, and that's it. That's all I read.
Mr. Quiet, scooch up.
Yep. Okay. Just a little bit.
You got to get in here and talk.
Yeah, I didn't really bring anything. I forgot to.
It's been 2 weeks.
Bring notes from last week, so I kind of skipped that. But for this week,
don't shame him. He won't come back.
No, I'm not shaming him.
Shame.
Well, I can't come back because of that picture thing.
Yeah. So, you have to have a picture. We'll make up one.
For this week, actually,
Adam can draw something. Well, no, you don't want that.
the only one that hasn't been discussed was. I've been reading Providence, so this is only the second issue, but it's an Alan Moore book. So probably a little cliche to kind of say like Alan Moore, but he's pretty good, actually. It's a pretty interesting story.
What has he done?
Nothing of importance.
I don't know if I've read any of his other work.
I was actually watching Watchmen on TV the other day. Just happened to be on.
Yeah, this book was like a knockoff Question. And
yeah, exactly.
But
give me back my face. Sorry.
Yeah. Actually, I'm not the best person to talk to, but as that movie goes, I think they really, like, tried to kind of stay kind of sort of, like, with the book, but it's just impossible to do.
It was almost too faithful to the book.
Right. Yeah. I think the problem was the actors looked right, but didn't act well. Like, there was a lot that was very right. Like, Rorschach was perfect. Yeah. Median was perfect. Even Ozymandias was perfect. I think it all falls down to Silk Spectre.
Yeah.
Just she really.
And no didn't. Giant octopus.
No, and it was funny because Dr. Manhattan was blurred the whole time.
Yeah.
But it's like everything was right, but maybe it just comes down to her just being off. Because I'm even thinking, like,
Night Owl
was right. Like, everything about the movie was right. It just wasn't right.
And the thing is about Watchmen is the complete thing. Like, you have to have the complete thing to read and with the
text pieces and everything,
thing or whatever they called it, and all that. Yeah. And it all ties together as a whole. And it didn't have that. Now they do have a collection like that, which ties their own versions. But still, I don't think it would still work.
Yeah, but it just it's hard to put a finger on what
was
wrong.
Though, and I think
it might have just been Silk Spectre being.
One thing that worked was that opening credit sequence.
Fantastic.
That was the best opening credit sequence. Sorry, probably.
And I love the music behind the Times Are Changing.
That was just done so well.
Yeah, just everything about it
had a phenomenal trailer.
Yeah, oh my gosh, that trailer. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that was good.
It had good posters, too. A lot of good advertisement for it.
Yeah, I like the opening
sequence. Yeah, everything about it was right.
I don't dislike the movie.
It was her.
That and a Hallelujah.
Yeah, that was just, and it went on too long. Yeah, it was just like, okay.
Yeah. What a bad song.
Okay, go ahead. Go back.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, now that we've glorified a little bit more of Alan Moore's work. It's an interesting book, as I discovered last week.
They're turning Killing Joke into
Let's
an anime
not
movie.
Talk about V for
Oh, my God. Don't even start.
As I discovered last week, I'm not very good at summarizing sort of not simple books, and this one's probably not a simple book. But basically, I'll kind of lump the first two issues together. It's kind of post-World War I, so like 1920-ish, following a newspaper reporter in New York City who it looks like he's going to
dumped the newspaper business, and he wants to write a book, but he's kind of researching some occult sort of topics, so he's kind of meeting people who are...
That sounds like Alan Moore, tangentially,
you know, talking about these things, and a lot of literary references. You know, he talks about, you know, The King in Yellow, which was Chambers. This new issue references, like, a Post story, and he's talking about some Jungian, you know, dream psychology and stuff, because that was all new, I guess, in the period. And, you know, so it's a little different in that regard, I think. And one of the things that's kind of mentioned in both issues is there's sort of a reference to, like, a world underneath the world that we see. And it's like, you know, at this point, I'm not sure if they're actually talking about, like, an actual world underneath or just, like, a metaphorical world underneath. Because there's references
to...
But
Alan Moore, you never know.
There's references to the guy, like, you know, like, he had a girl who died, but now, like, there's some incident that occurs where it's like, is there, like, is he, like, latently homosexual, but you're not sure, but the way he writes, it kind of sounds that way, but, you know, so was there an issue? So is it just, like, this secret that everybody kind of hides from everybody else, but then he also has what he thinks is a dream, but it might have been real, where he's actually in sort of, like, this underground river and with some demon chasing him and all. It's pretty neat. I mean, I think in the previews it said it's going to be like a 12-issue run, okay. So it'll be a little more, you'll be able to get a little more into it. But the one thing that I think definitely makes it different than most other books I've read, although probably nothing new for him, is at the end of the actual story, there's like, both issues so far have had about 4 pages that are like basically taken out of the main character's diary. So it's just handwritten, you know, cursive writing, okay, kind of thing. And, you know, and the new one talks about, you know, some ideas for his book and then some other topics. But in addition to that, the new one, which I got to be honest, I haven't finished because I started it too late because I didn't want to forget about it before the podcast, is followed by 10 pages of like single space, almost margin to margin type written, like an essay that this guy like bought in some pamphlet about like an 8th century Arabic text on like alchemy or something like that. So for anybody that thinks that comic books are really just designed to be read by 12-year-olds, this book definitely breaks that mold in my mind. But so I got to finish that one, but so it should be neat. But it's pretty cool the way he's kind of
read
sets
up on
it up
alchemy,
and some stuff in. Yeah, I know. I actually already did. Well, I think the graphic novel King of Yellow came out, so I got that, which I haven't finished. But I actually did, after the first issue, get the actual King in Yellow stories to read, you know, so I kind of read those, and it was interesting. I mean, that's something I've never gotten, you know, seen it in this. So in that regard, it's kind of broadening me a little bit, perhaps, literarily, if that's a word. So that's the only one I've got. That's it. Thanks.
Okay.
What's coming out next week?
What's coming out next week?
Next week.
Beat you to it.
Next week, we have all new Hawkeye number 4. Archie versus Predator 4, finishing up this epic.
Oh, yeah.
And Archie versus Sharknado. So it's a double Archie week, which means I have to make an extra spot on the shelf.
I hope
the show,
like, he escapes Predator
and then runs into a shark.
It's like, no. It's like,
okay, and just for Josh, we have Book of Death, Fall of Bloodshot, number 1.
Nice.
Cyborg, number 1, which I saw the pages of. It looks really good. It's Ivan Rice, so you knew it was going to look good. So,
I can't be the only one that's excited about a cyborg book.
Yeah. So, E for Extinction,
tell me.
Yeah, that's
number 2. Fables, number 22, which is also issue 150 in the same thing. It's kind of neat. It has 150 on the cover, but 22 on the spine. So it's a trade that's the last issue. Fight Club 2, number 3. Future Imperfect, number 3. Harley and Power Girl, number 2. JLA Gods and Monsters Batman, number 1. That's from the new animated movie. Justice League 3001, number 2. Loki, Agent of Asgard, and Magneto are 2 Secret Wars tie-ins. Marvel Zombies, number 2. Old Man Logan, number 3. Power Up, number 1, which I believe is a Boom book. New previews next week. Oh, that's one thing I didn't want to mention. Previews orders are due next Thursday, so I haven't even looked at the book yet, but let me know if there's anything in there you want. Yeah. Prez number 2, Punisher number 20, which is another Secret Wars
Prez was
tie-in.
Good. That might be something I'll add.
Stan Lee, Chakra the Invincible.
Do it.
Because he's very into Chakra. You know, it's Stan.
Yeah.
Star-Lord and Kitty Pryde number 1, which is now delayed. That was supposed to come out last month. Uncanny X-Men number 35, which seems totally out of place right now in the middle of Secret Wars. But this was a March book, which should have shipped in May. So, yeah, close.
Yeah.
We Are Robin number 2, Weird World number 2, and Wolf number 1, which is a new Image book. So, that's what we got next week.
That's a lot of stuff going on.
That's a lot of stuff. And it was funny, I was talking to a guy who's doing a podcast. It's got a really weird...
It's not us.
Name. No, it's his like Twitter handle is all just letters. And I was listening to him, because the first one was Sean Murphy, the second one was Declan Shalvey, just talking about doing the business, business aspect from a insider's thing. And let me see. Off Panel from Sketched. But it's SKTCHD. But both of his podcasts have just kind of ended. Like, you know, the writer said something, and all of a sudden, it's just quiet. So Declan Shalvey had tweeted him in something, and I responded. I said to him, great podcast, but you need some sort of closing. You know, thank them for coming. You know, give your information. And he's like, information? I'm like, you know, your email address, where they can reach you, Twitter, Facebook, things like that. He's like, oh, great. I never thought of doing that. So, I know.
I've never lived in the world.
I know. No, but he just... Well, and he keeps mentioning there's this paper he published. And he keeps mentioning it, but he never says where to find it and stuff. And he mentioned that he never expected people...
Sources.
Well, he never expected people to find him outside of his website. So he thought they were going to his website and then listening to the podcast... from there. And I'm like, no, I mean, I found you.
They might be sharing it then.
Well, that's what I said. I said, you know, retweets and shares are your best friends, because I found you from a Declan Shalvey retweet, at which point Declan Shalvey favorited that. But so it was just funny. So, but it got me to remember that I should close the podcast with that. So that's a podcast. Thanks, Adam. And you can always reach me at Colin@PittsburghComics.com if you have any questions or want to make any comments. You're always welcome to join us.
Josh is just
what? What?
Because you stole his thunder.
Oh, I did.
Yeah, but he's
he was looking at his receipt like he forgot what he bought.
Nah,
you're always welcome to come down and join us, like Rich. There's plenty of room.
I thought you said that's a podcast.
I did. And so I'm finishing up.
Didn't do it right.
We're done podcasting. Right. But you can follow me on Twitter at pghcomics.com because Pittsburgh Comics wouldn't fit. And it just made it Pittsburgh Comic, which seemed wrong. And then Facebook at Pittsburgh Comics.
It sounded strange. How strange was it?
I like and how you explained, it. Like, that gave the story.
You know what's happening here?
You're a Twitter
He just realized
handle.
He gave someone else's advice, and then yet he never closes with
you're
his
You're correct.
Own advice.
So that's why that's I'm why doing this. So, okay, I'm sorry, Adam. I didn't mean to steal that's your thunder. Podcast. Thank you. We'll talk to you next week. See ya.
Good.
Than a bullet leaping buildings in a single bound. Came from out the shadows, cause that's how we get down. I'm in your town. Walk between billionaires and evil scientists. Sorcerer supreme, all the teenagers are buying this. Gamma radiation, nobody could mess with this. Hold steady with venomous symbiotes in my penmanship. Your friendly neighborhood MC back on the scene. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. All I'm seeing is green and red and blue. I hold the shield for America when a soldier out Siberia. Rocking any microphone that's near to ya. Clobbering it till in a coffin you sit. Agenda for extinction, bring out the horsemen of the apocalypse. Part of an evil brotherhood, acolytes that believe. Super friends who make beats and cats that MC. It's the area code to the planet that we protect. The Infinity Watch is now back in effect. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 616.
there the whole time. Now, put your hands up like this for all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 616. Hey, yo, Vince. Drop the beat out. I'm gonna go Pietro on these cats. Right? Yeah. Spitting a rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches. The wisdom will battle these women and children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at. Stop time, watch your chain react. Can't lie, I'm a brainiac. Little they know, I'm still in the show. I'm filling the streets, unlimited flow. The second of Doc Ock when I'm killing it, yo. Please, shots to your chest. You're rocking a vest like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody will save you, kid. I'm Frank with a gun. I'm Hank with his son. I'm blonde when I skip lunch eating rappers, man. So thanks for the gum. I'm Starch Wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap. I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes. Keeping these anonymous commenters honest, making them realize. You love to hate me on the net when I try. That's why you get no love when you're up on my block. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how